Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How dare you create for public that tempts the casinos that we would do that if we had an avian flu in St. Louis, we would exempt the casinos from those regulations.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I kind of betrayed the argument on this.
For the Marks Talk Radio with the Sloan Ranger Show, 8 at 5 o'clock only on 8920 WGNU.
And live presents the complete Disney Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 essential ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire Disney Collection for the date. You can enjoy all 10 CDs, classic soul ballads in your home, and we'll give it to you free. It's the best collection you've ever heard. Sid, can you call
1-800-316-969? That's 1-800-316-969. Say 1-800-316-969.
Nothing inspires imagination like reading. When you open up, you can explore new worlds, like the ones of Chronicles of Narnia.
Enthusiast. Have a camera. Get out there. Remember, America's Express.
GNU Radio is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. That's right, you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me, because we have, what's the technical term that I'm looking for? Business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. I heard you all on Reveille. This is Diego from Augusta, Georgia.
All right, Diego, good morning.
And I got a story here that is so bizarre and insane. Bear with me. We have a shock jock here in Augusta, Georgia with WGAC Radio. And he has attacked a little 5-year-old African-American boy for peeing on a toilet seat at the school. He ridiculed the boy over the air, and then he called his mother a media whore. He gave out the boy's home address over the air and told listeners to go by and visit the historical home of the pee-pee boy. He continued to make a mockery of the child by holding an on-air instructional on how to clean urine up in the bathroom. He told a member of the Columbia County, Georgia Board of Education, a guy by the name of Mike Sleeper, on the air that the boy is nothing but a terrorist. This guy imitates the way African Americans talk in a derogatory manner. He was suspended, for using the N-word, and let's put it this way. He wants to know where all the red-headed white boys is in the NBA, and he makes Don Imus look like Gandhi.
Well, so he's still on the air?
Yep, he sure is. The NAACP has been down here. We've had protests. The Beasley Broadcasting Group owns just about every radio station in this media, and we're a GP mind-controlled city from the good old school type deal, and they're stonewalling. I can't even get anybody from the Columbia County Board of Education to respond to me. The mayor won't respond to me. Now, this guy has power, Republican power. He has the senators, both Georgia senators, Isaacson and Chambliss, come on his show. The governor of Georgia, Perdue,
also think of all of the people that came on Imus's show. That's not necessarily an impediment. I think that one of the things that you need to do is to get to some of his local sponsors.
We're doing that, and Kroger has dropped him, Comcast has dropped him, Ryan's Steakhouse has dropped him, several sponsors has dropped him, but he's still hanging in there.
Well, I guess just slow and steady wins the race. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you get all the sponsors out there. I think it's fine that the radio station is not going to pay attention to the actions of the citizens to get him off the air. Then the citizens need to take their actions to the businesses that support him, because none of the businesses want anybody out there protesting in front of them.
Well, we've been doing that, but it's had little effect. This has been going on for like a year now.
But if you say that you've gotten 4 sponsors to drop him, I hardly think that is little effect. How many sponsors?
The thing about it is, it's the local sponsors, the local business, Mary's Trash and Treasures, the Firehouse Subs, Joe Blow's hobby shops and stuff like that. They're defined. Matter of fact, one guy told me to bring it on, says it might even help his business.
But okay, and so you gonna let that stop you?
No, we brought it on, and I think it did help his business. People are riding by hollering, "Get a job, you."
So what are you asking me? I mean, so I guess what are you?
Well, anyway, basically, I talked to Joe Madison, and Joe Madison told me to get on as many talk shows that I could and get the word out and let people around the country know what's happening here in Augusta, Georgia.
Okay, well,
because we can't get any news to cover us here in Augusta.
Mm-hmm. But yet and still, you've gotten sponsors to drop him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I guess what my perspective is that you tell the story from an empowering place, and I think that if you're going to tell the story about what has been done, you tell it from a perspective of what you've been able to do, and that the battle continues to rage on. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is that clearly you are doing something if you've been able to get some sponsors to drop, and clearly you need to keep the heat on. And clearly, you need to keep the battle going, And I think that when you say that somebody has said something use the N-word to describe people of African descent, it would be helpful if you were to go to YouTube and put that on YouTube. The words that he used, if you have an audio tape from that, put together an audio compilation of that and put it on YouTube. Hello.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to do what you said about that. I think I'm you put a new perspective on this. I've been coming at it more like on the defensive. I should be telling people, you know, what we have accomplished.
That's a fact, because otherwise it just makes people say, well, okay, well, then I guess we can't win that one. You know, I mean, and the fact of the matter is that you have had successes.
Yeah, we have. I'm telling you, I'm glad I called you. You put a new perspective. That's why I'm going to do it that way, because I think, because I'm a little down right now, to be honest with you, because I'm up against this thing here that you would not believe. I had a lawyer here in town tell me how he hated Austin Rose and despised him and everything like that. And he begged me, he said, but please don't, you know, he's scared to death I would tell who he was.
Well, you know, and again, you know, so then obviously you don't hire that lawyer. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you need to put the story together from a perspective of empowerment and a perspective of concern and a perspective of specifics. What has he said specifically? There have to be audio tapes out there. The reason that the Imus thing took the turn that it did was because there was video and audio of it. And it was able to travel across the airwaves from station to station because there were the audio clips. Clearly, this guy has enough audio that it can be used to get him off the air. Period. Dot. And shame anybody, because people stop coming on. I'm gonna say I'm not coming on there after this stuff was revealed. So you got to reveal what people are willing to sit next to, other than saying that he said that. You need the audio. You need the smoking gun with the bullet coming out of it. And you have that. All right?
Hey, thank you so very, 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 very much.
All right. Take care now. Let us know how it goes.
I will. I'll email you.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have so much business to tend to. It's going to be a full day here on the wake-up call. It's going to be a full rock and roll day on the wake-up call, and you don't want to miss a minute of it. We're going to take a break here at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 from Old Hall's Ferry in the Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. You've got everything to be running at the speed limit, but it's starting to stack up a bit. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns in the left lanes as you hit the bridge. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there as well. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic around the 44 exchange. Consequently, eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Mason Road all the way into the 270 Exchange, then pass that through McKnight. You should see no problems. Everything is running smoothly this hour. Eastbound 70 from East Diverse City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some slowdowns, but otherwise it's on the move. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill into 255. Look for some slowdowns. And then again from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for some delays. There's your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-90s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently, we have 67 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 71, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues matter most to you.
What's better for your brain than TV? Quicker to open than Windows and more portable than a laptop. Why, books, of course. I'm Maria Rogers O'Rourke, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program, a lively conversation about books. Join us every Friday for discussions with a variety of authors on timely topics, the creative process, and how to get published.
And I'm Mary Menke, happy to be part of the new hosting team for Authors on the Air. Join us every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
Summertime, and living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Strangled by the wishes I begged for.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, I think I've already told you, revolution@lizbrown.com. Those are my digits. Handle your business, because we got business to tend to this morning. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. What are we going to be talking about today? Well, what will we be talking about today? How about in the 9 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Frieda Bergen. She is going to be talking. She's a senior program associate at the Arms and Security Project, and she will be talking about how the United States is cutting these new arms deals with the Middle East and what that is going to do, billions and billions and billions of dollars. So that's Boy George's solution. Let's sell billions of dollars to Saudi Arabia and other countries. That's gonna fix our problem with Iraq and Iran. We're gonna be talking to Frieda Bergen about that. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, the 8 o'clock hour, Malcolm Suber will be joining me. Malcolm Suber is coming into town he is the national organizer for the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, and he's going to be talking about what is happening to people as a result of Katrina, how people's lives have, it's amazing what has happened to people's lives and how it's been ignored by this good government. So we're going to be talking to Malcolm Suber about the $850 million in international aid that was supposed to go to Katrina victims and only $40 million of it being used. And by the way, if you want to hear more of this discussion, we're going to talk about environmental racism in the aftermath of Katrina. That's going to be a discussion tonight at Legacy Books at 5249 Del Mar. That's right, at Del Mar and Union, 7 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be on the panel. Also, Don Fitz will be on the panel, and Deidre Thomas-Murray. We're going to be talking about how the impact on the schools here in St. Louis, and it's going to be a very interesting discussion, and that's going to be tonight at Legacy Books at 7 o'clock tonight. In the meantime, Malcolm Suber, the national organizer for the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, will be joining me in the 8 o'clock hour. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour, we have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. So it's going to be a full show today, a full 4 hours today. So fasten your seatbelts, folks, because we have much business that we will be tending to. Rudy Giuliani. I want to talk about Rudy Giuliani. Yes, I do. I want to talk about Rudy Giuliani. I want to talk about him because he's ahead of all of the Republicans out there that are running for office. He's winning the race, right? He is winning the race. He's winning the race. So the question should be asked, if he is the front runner for the Republican, would he be a better president or a worse president than Bush? And understand, if the answer is a worse president than Bush, Jesus God. Jesus God, he'd be worse. There are some folks out there that are saying that he would be worse. Rudy Giuliani runs on this whole concept of, well, look, I did so well during 9/11. I kept this city safe. That's his shtick. That's what many people remember him from. And it's always, like I say with Barack Obama, fine print candidate, read the fine print. Don't look and assume, read the fine print. Hillary Clinton, know what she said, deconstruct the calculation. Deconstruct the calculation. And Rudy Giuliani, know your history. Most of 9/11 was a debacle for city government. Giuliani bears a great deal of the responsibility, according to some reports. The World Trade Center had been attacked in 1993, but Giuliani had learned none of the lessons that could have been learned. There was no attempt to coordinate the radios between the police and the fire departments. The consequences, perhaps hundreds of unnecessary deaths that day on 9/11. Oh, yeah, it was Rudy Giuliani that insisted on locating his emergency control center in the World Trade Complex, even though it had been the target of a 1993 attack. Huh? I mean, just think about that for a second. And I have to go back to George W. Bush. That sounds like a boneheaded decision that would be made by the D student, former cheerleader. Okay, the World Trade Center had been attacked in 1993, so my decision is, after analyzing and understanding that the World Trade Center is a target, I'm now going to move the emergency control center in the World Trade Complex. That, huh? You moved it to a place that had been attacked? And Rudy Giuliani did that against the advice of virtually every and all security experts he consulted. He put it on the 23rd floor of a 47-story building. It included an unprotected 7,000-gallon fuel source on the 7th floor. Sort of refused to set the building off. That was Rudy's decision. Yeah, this isn't a building that failed by itself, right? Rudy Giuliani made that decision. If that's not the most boneheaded decision, and that's not Monday morning quarterbacking, why would you locate your emergency facilities in a building that was a target of terrorist attacks and then put it on the 27th floor? You don't even put it on the first floor? You put it in the middle of a 40-something? Please. And what if, I mean, just think about it. I mean, boneheaded and suicidal. What if Rudy Giuliani had been in his new command center on 9/11? Maybe we should ask the question, why wasn't he there? Did he get a phone call? Huh. Because Mayor Brown got one. Mayor Brown got one in San Francisco. He got a phone call saying, don't get on the planes today. Today would not be a good day to get on planes. What was he doing? Within a few minutes, they say that he was within a few minutes of dying that day. Instead, he ended up having to spend most of the 102 minutes between when the first plane hit and the second tower came down simply walking around the area with staff members looking for some place to set up a new command center. And this guy is ahead in the polls? I mean, shouldn't there be a little bit of weight on him? Giuliani told the 9/11 commission that the firemen in the towers died because they refused orders to come out. He said they wanted to save the lives of people trapped inside. That is a demonstrable lie, according to some reports. The firefighters in the building were simply waiting for orders. They never got the word. They never got the word. What did Giuliani do after 9/11? Well, you know, he's not all that stupid. He realized the PR opportunity that this presented, and he very quickly took the disaster as a great opportunity. He proposed that his term in office be extended to give him more time to deal with things. He tried to put his mistress of the time, who became his third wife, in charge of the fund to set up the money to the survivors and the victims' family. Ooh, boy, oh boy, boy, yeah. I believe he was. I believe he was Time's Man of the Year. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. And he is the front-running Republican. Good golly. Good golly. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. An amazing morning coming at you. You don't want to miss it. Stay with me. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I will be back right after this break. Your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy. Cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Is all I ever had. Redemption songs. Redemption songs.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. Yes, you do. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much business. Much, much, much business to tend to. Don't forget our advertisers, the Golden Grocer. I'm telling you, it's so much easier when you take care of yourself in the summer because it makes winter a little bit easier. Because sometimes it's a little harder to get out in winter, or we're a little less motivated to get out and do what we need to do in the winter months. In the summer, it's always fun to be out. Get on down to Golden Grocer. Get on down to the advertisers that support this show, because without them, we would not be able to be here. And I want to encourage you to get your carpet and your upholstery cleaned. You know you need it. I know you have events coming up. You have people coming in your house, or you've had people in your house, and it's time to get your carpet clean. Why don't you call Russell's, a professional carpet and upholstery cleaner and a certified expert in it, 30 years of experience. Call him at 315. 7075. Wonderful service, prompt, on time, certified cleaning service, three rooms and a hallway for $39.95. Professional carpet cleaning. Give Russell's Carpet Cleaning a call at 315-7075. 315-7075. You know what? It's the advertisers that make the show. You support the show, then support the advertisers, doggone it. Go out there and tend to their business, what they have to offer for you. 1-877-920-WGNU. I've got an there's some interesting issues that challenge us. There are some interesting issues that challenge us. I told you yesterday, I reported to you yesterday about the efforts of the United States and other airlines of people that are flying into the United States. A brand new database. Going to have your name in it. Okay. Some people are like, okay, alright, whatever. Going to have your address in it. Some people are like, oh, okay, whatever. Going to have what kind of accommodations that you normally use when you come into the country. Oh, really? They're going to have whether or not you're straight or gay in your file. They're going to have what kind of medications you use in your file. Oh, yeah. Are y'all cool with that? Are y'all cool with that? I'm just asking because, I mean, I don't know everything that goes on in your little heads out there, but are you cool with that? And here's the thing, and I've said it on my show again. I've said it on my show before, and I will say it on the show again and again and again. Y'all think when folks attack a certain type of people, it's just them. That you're cool because they're going after just those Muslims out there. No, baby, I told you on September 12th, they're coming after you. They can't hold their bellies in. They'll start with the people that you cool with, getting the unfair end of the legal stick, getting beat down with the laws. You cool with a certain group of people thinking that it's never going to come home to you. Check this out. Bosnian immigrants. Here's a lesson in America to Bosnian immigrants here in the city of St. Louis. Tens of thousands of Bosnians were shipped and located here to St. Louis. St. Louis largely said that the city of St. Louis welcomed them, gave them breaks and deals and yada, yada, yada. And for that, the Bosnian community decided that they want to build a mosque because, oh, did I mention Muslim? And the city of St. Louis has done quite a bit for the Bosnian community. And the Bosnian community is going to build a mosque. Ooh, they're going to build it in the county. Interesting. They want to build a mosque in the county. They want to build the Islamic Community Center's plan to build a 25,000 square foot center on Lee May Ferry Road near Melville High School. And guess what? You know that intolerance that we talk about here that exists here in the city of St. Louis? for black folks. How you like him now? Because the county is saying, you know what, I don't think so. The St. Louis County Council reversed or rejected their plan to build a 25,000 square foot center on Lemay Ferry Road. Yes, indeed. How you like us now? There was a press conference that was held a while ago. And there are a couple of things that I find interesting about this story. A couple of things I find interesting. One, that the Bosnians, after everything that the city of St. Louis has done, I mean, we see that in other communities too. Make all your money in the city and then move your stuff out to the county. Shouldn't that be on Francis Slay's watch? Why didn't the Bosnian community want to build their mosque in their 25,000 square foot center in St. Louis? That's one part of the story. And then the second part of the story is the fact that the St. Louis County Council said, you ain't building it here. You ain't building it here. Charlie Dooley was supposed to be addressing this. He says that he would work something out to resolve the matter. But isn't it interesting? In the year 2007, what does that mean? It shows to go you. It shows to go you. The time and the place that we live in, let's be clear. Let's be clear. Let's be crystal. You think they goring somebody else's ox? No, baby. They gonna get around to your ox as well. That same intolerance gonna get around to your ox as well. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. My name is Liz Brown. We're gonna have an amazing show today. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're gonna be talking about what the huh? George Bush is wants to give billions of dollars, just drop guns like little care packages from the air, dropping guns on the Middle East, billions of dollars of guns being dropped on the Middle East to stabilize the area. Okay, yeah, that works. Frieda Berrigan is going to be talking to us. She is a senior program associate at the Arms and Security Project. She's going to be talking to us in the 9 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, Malcolm Suber is going to be joining me here in the studio. Malcolm Suber is the national organizer for the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. He's in town to talk about a conference that's going to be taking place in New Orleans. And he's also going to be part of a panel discussion. And I will be joining him at that panel discussion tonight at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock at Legacy Books. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. He will be on a panel discussing all of the things that are happening in New Orleans. The millions of dollars of international aid that never made it to the New Orleans people. How you have $850 million in international aid and only $40 million being used? We're going to be talking about that. And if you don't have time to hear that, if you hear that, also know that Malcolm is going to be part of a panel discussion. I will be joining him as well tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books. We're going to be doing that tonight at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour, I will be joined by Peter Downs. That's right. Peter Downs will be joining me. St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Much business to tend to right here on the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that
like many, are denied equal treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian,
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Read all about it. A major sea change in the media is in the offing. Rupert Murdoch has made a deal to buy Dow Jones and Company, publishers of the Wall Street Journal. But Dow Jones employee E.S. Browning says readers won't notice the difference.
When you pick up the paper tomorrow, it'll be the same paper. And we're going to work very hard to maintain the quality of the paper. Even if it's taken over by Rupert Murdoch, we're going to be working doubly hard to maintain the quality.
The $5 billion takeover deal must first be approved by the government and the stockholders. Breakfast is being served at the White House to congressional leaders from both sides of the aisle. ABC's Ann Compton says President Bush has a special menu in mind.
President Bush is arguing the Foreign Intelligence Court must be modernized, care improved for troops wounded in combat, and money for the war appropriated quickly. Because by the end of the week, summer recess is to begin and Congress is gone.
In Iraq, three car bombings today killed more than 25 Iraqis, and three more American soldiers were killed in bombing attacks yesterday. But ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad says the overall military death toll is down lately.
We're still talking about at least two American soldiers being killed here every day, which is very high. But it is still lower than what we've seen at the beginning of the surge. General Odierno, the number two in Iraq, has said he expected U.S. casualties to go up as the surge began because U.S. troops were pushing into new areas, and then he hoped once they established themselves, casualties would come down. So far, at least, that seems to be the pattern that's emerging.
A major milestone for Apple, the 3 billionth song was downloaded on iTunes. The service launched in April of 2003. The company has sold more than 100 million iPods since the first one sold 5.5 years ago. You may be fooling the boss, but researchers know you really don't work 9 to 5. You slack off about 2 hours a day. Goofoffs give Salary.com dueling reasons for wasting time doing personal business on the boss's time, such as they have too much or too little to do. This is ABC News.
Sunday on TNT, an epic story, 60 years in the making, filmed across three continents.
How did you know I was CIA?
This August, see the story the CIA doesn't want you to know.
You sent him in there. He's an American citizen.
From the makers of Gladiator, Spy Game, and The Da Vinci Code.
Being jerked around by a damn mole.
Chris O'Donnell, Michael Keaton, Alfred Molina, The Company. The three-week television event of the summer premieres commercial-free Sunday at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
A movie based on the Bratz doll collection is coming out later this week. ABC's David Blaustein talked to some of the living dolls.
Meet Skylar Shea and Janelle Parrish, half of the Bratz from Bratz the Movie.
Thank you!
Shea is the goddaughter of John Voight.
He's been around my whole life.
Parrish has a record deal with Geffen Records.
Very exciting.
In Bratz the Movie, Shea and Parrish are two of four best friends who enter high school together but get separated into cliques.
There's something for everybody. I mean, you'll laugh, you'll cry.
The movie is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And it has really great messages as well.
Shea and Parrish even do their own singing.
Absolutely. We do it all. And we have gratitude.
Bratz the Movie opens Friday. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Pandemonium could break out at any time. There's truly a pregnant pause at the San Diego Zoo, where keepers are listening for the sound of little panda paws. Pregnant panda Bai Yun is now on 24-hour birth watch. 2 weeks ago, ultrasound confirmed she's pregnant. The cub is due sometime this month. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
With this hour's WGNU local report, I'm Peyton Colston. A St. Louis man was sentenced this week to 3 years probation and slapped with restitution payments for selling thousands of bootleg copies of movies and music. WGNU's Rich LaCroix has more.
37-year-old Thomas L. Burrell pled guilty in federal court May 22nd. Federal agents confiscated about 3,600 copies of movies and music in his home during a search. He was selling the copies on the street through word of mouth. U.S. District Judge Stephen Limbaugh ordered Burrell to pay nearly $3,000 each to the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Industry Association of America.
In other news, Thomas R. Pagliaro has resigned as football coach at Highland High School before his first day on the field. He was charged last week with two counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, among other items, after he was found with a 16-year-old girl in his car in a Godfrey neighborhood. Pagliaro had been hired as football coach and special education teacher. Highland School Superintendent Marvin Warner says the resignation allows Pagliaro, his family, and the school district to move forward. And another football note, the St. Louis Rams have signed center Dave Pearson and released center Donovan Raiola. Pearson, 6'3", 287, spent the first 13 weeks of the 2006 season on the Detroit Lions practice squad and then was promoted to the active roster on December 14th. Pearson was a two-year starter on the offensive line at the University of Michigan after switching from defensive tackle as a sophomore. He earned all Big Ten second-team honors in 2003. Raiola, 6'2", 293, started 39 games while at the University of Wisconsin, earning all Big Ten honorable mention as a sophomore, junior, and senior. And that's a WGNU local report. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock, excuse me, at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. I-70 northbound between Del Mar and Olive. Look for road construction reduced to two lanes. Expect slow traffic northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Starting stack up at the top of that ramp. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant. Look for pockets of slow traffic, but otherwise it's running at the speed limit. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Heavy volume going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving slowly across the bank into the landing. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Heavy volume there. And northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly sunny today, high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 70s. Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-90s. Thursday evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-70s. And Friday, you guessed it, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 degrees, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. It's on the way. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, how can you listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, how can you listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good this morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Well, Peter, we have some really, I think, some really exciting news here. And it shows, it speaks to how you have to continue the battle out here, how you have to, while your victory may not happen like a microwave immediately, that there is some crock-potting going on out here, that things, some things just take a while to come to fruition or to be complete. Talk to us about the stationary engineers. Take us back to the beginning of this struggle.
Okay. Well, back to the beginning is 2003. Roberti came in. And the school board then decided to outsource a bunch of the employees, to lay off a bunch of employees and hire Sodexo and Aramark to do their work. And that included the food service workers, that included the custodians, that included all the building maintenance workers, and that included stationary engineers who operate the heating and cooling systems. The yeah, and even in 2003, you could see a difference between the unions representing different groups of employees. So you, the union representing food service and custodians, very quickly made an agreement.
Capitulated.
With the
school
board. Nothing. There wasn't a whimper.
It was horrible. I remember when we were having our meetings at the Gateway Classic, where hundreds of people were showing up every week.
Right, and there are a lot of custodians and food service taking part in
exactly.
that because their union was doing nothing.
Doing
so
nothing.
So they turned to the community.
Yes, they did.
And the station engineers, since they had a sick out, a blue flu,
mm-hmm.
in November, I think it was.
I remember.
And the result was that they got a contract to stay working with the board.
And I remember being on the air just saying, now this is what you have to do. You have to engage in actions. They were the only ones, for real.
Yes, they were.
That did the, that shut the school down. People didn't shut the school down. The stationary engineers did what they could do.
And it shut some of the schools down.
And it shut some of the schools down. And what did they get? They got a contract.
They got a contract. So the other employees were all laid off.
Mm-hmm.
New companies brought in. Many, but not all of them, got hired new companies on inferior conditions.
That's
but
right.
Station engineers kept their jobs with the district.
That's right.
Until 2005. And that this is the trouble with these kind of piecemeal everybody do their own bit thing. In 2005, the board decided to lay off the station engineers and contract with Sodexo to do their work. Station engineers then filed a lawsuit. And they lost at the circuit court, but it went up to Missouri Supreme Court. And in March, they got a ruling from Missouri Supreme Court that it was illegal for the school board to lay off employees.
Francis Slay School Board.
For Francis
Slay
Slay's,
majority.
Yeah, that's right.
School.
That's right. It was illegal. But it applies to all school boards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's illegal for a school board to lay off employees saying, we don't have money to do this, and then hire somebody else. Actually, it's illegal to lay off employees and then hire somebody else to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
Just flat out illegal. The ruling, because of timing and all that, it looks like that probably only applied to the station engineers. They're the only one who challenged it.
Mm-hmm.
as opposed to custodians and food service workers, all that, who were in the same boat but never challenged it.
Right.
So that was in March. In April, the school board, in a closed session, said, no, we aren't asking. We direct the attorney who is going to apply for a new hearing on that. Say, no, don't. Supreme Court ruled, we're accepting that. We want to end this.
And the time has passed for any kind of appeal to be made for that. That's
yeah.
done.
That's done.
Okay.
I said, we want to end this. You know, we want the stationers brought back in-house. We supplied a lot of information to the administration, which they checked on. It turned out to be true about work that stationers had done that Sodexo was supposed to do but was not doing.
And give us a couple of examples. Well, actually, we need to take a break. But when we come back...
Okay, I'll give you one example
when we come back. Because it's par for the course. Everything that we have been saying about why we shouldn't have hired these companies is true. And we have the evidence of it. Stay with us. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. We're talking about St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We'll be back.
Summertime. And the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
The people, the issues affecting your life. Right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from LaCree School, Becky Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the center is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity Reign Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and we're talking about good news coming out of the district, a story of why you have to fight, a story of why you have to remain steadfast in your fight, and a story of how when you fight, you win. And this is the story of the stationary engineers in the city of St. Louis and their battle that was brought to them when the new majorities, when Francis Lay's majority took over the St. Louis Public Schools Board, and how they fought and how they won. So, Peter, you've gotten us to the place where they filed the lawsuit, they won the suit, and the St. Louis Public School Board under recently said, you know what, the Supreme Court has ruled on this, we're done with this, reinstate the stationary engineers. Talk to us about some of the work that we have seen that was supposed to have been done, that the stationary engineers had done for decades in the St. Louis Public Schools that wasn't getting done after this multi-million dollar contract that Francis Slay and his majority board gave to Sodexo.
Well, one of the things we had heard of was several schools where the air filters on these heating and cooling systems had not been changed since the work was outsourced. And they're supposed to be changed every year.
Minimally,
yeah. These are things that, you know, can't draw all the dirt and dust so it doesn't get into the burners of the furnaces, into the cooling coils and everything of the cooling systems, and cause damage there. But also then keeps the air cleaner that is then blown out in the classrooms. You're not blowing dirt and dust out. And it's supposed to be minimally cleaned every year. New filters put in, and there's a thing to sign off. So you know, just like with a fire extinguisher inspection, you date it when it's done.
Right.
So you know when it's done. And it hadn't been done,
and how many
they
years?
Checked on it, and
how many years
since they were changed in 2004. Then they were a lot of these are changed right before the start of the school year. The stationaries were outsourced in the summer of 2005. Before these were, the year was up, the system would be changed, and they weren't changed again. That was it, 2004.
And I think it's important to underscore right now, we're talking about children, and we're talking about the health of those that are in charge of our children.
Right.
We're talking about teachers and nurses and specialists that come in and help our children, that these are filters that were not changed. And we're talking also, Peter, about a city that has one of the highest asthma rates in the country.
That's right.
One of the highest asthma rates, and that's basic. You wash sheets, you change filters, you keep the air clean for people that have asthma. And here we have us. And how much money did we pay? Did Francis Slay vote to give Aramark for not doing their job?
Well, this is Sodexo.
I'm sorry, Sodexo. Sodexo for not doing their job.
Sodexo, for all the things they do, it's like $23 million a year.
And they can't change an air. And they didn't change air filters.
Right.
Now,
but we aren't getting into all the other things they didn't
right.
do. But this is one
right.
example there, because this specifically relates to stationary engineering.
And that's such an easy one for people to understand. And there's also the other piece of it is that not only are they not doing the simple, little, easy, obvious things, Peter, but not only is this putting children who have asthma at greater risk, teachers that have asthma at greater risk, a community of unhealthy children trying to be taught in an unhealthy building, but Peter, hasn't this district spent millions of dollars on new systems?
Yes,
and what
yes.
does this do to new systems when you don't? I mean, okay, if you
right.
don't care about kids with asthma, then care about the millions that we pay for these systems.
Oh, right. We've had $180 million in bonds to install new heating and air conditioning, install air conditioning in the buildings, but when they do that, install new heating systems too. And most of that spent, I think, like 140 of that work is done, has been done. And that's just it. These are systems that, if maintained, they're guaranteed for 10 years. You can probably expect them to last 20 years. But if you aren't filtering out all the dust and dirt, you're just letting all that dust and dirt get in the system, then you're going to have breakdowns in 3 years, 4 years.
And one of the things that we talked about when this started to come down about the removal of vested, concerned, caring people and replacement with temporary workers from who knows where and who knows what, was when you have people like custodians who went to Beaumont and graduated and came back to Beaumont to work as a custodian. You have a food service worker whose kids are in that district. Mm-hmm. When you have stationary engineers whose wives work in that district, their family works in this district, you have vested employees that care about whether or not this system or this entity, this institution survives. That's one of the things that, so you have a stationary engineer whose kid goes to Beaumont.
Right.
You know, you think that they're going to be changing the filter in Beaumont? Of course, their kid goes to Beaumont. You replace it with a Sodexo. They have employees that aren't the same from month to month that don't give a, they're not vested like that in our schools. They don't care about our schools.
Well, I think you have a little more stability with the station engineers, but certainly we did here at School Climate Committee on Monday about with the custodians at Sodexo,
mm-hmm.
which I think is where your mark's coming from, and they laid off 82 people and then bring in part-timers off the street.
Exactly.
Who were, essentially temporary
exactly.
part-timers off the street.
Drifting in and out of what building, the whatever building.
It's a whole different level of commitment to what goes on in the building.
And it's illogical. I mean, why should they care? I mean,
right.
it's not doesn't mean anything. Their mother doesn't work there. Their brother doesn't work there. Their children don't go there. They don't care. It's just a $7 or $5 an hour
right.
job.
And they know they aren't going to be there long. They know they're hired temporarily.
And they know that they won't get caught if they do a screwy job.
That's right.
You know, so it makes a difference, particularly when people talk about they care about the kids. Well, then this is the proof that you care about your kids. You're not just going to let any Tom, Dick, or Harry come in off the street and tend to the serious things that your children can be exposed to. And speaking of the serious things, we had huge problems with boilers, didn't we?
Yes, yes.
Talk
we
to
had,
us about
we had,
that.
I think we had one that blew up.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember what the...
Yes, we did.
I'm blocking on the name of the school right now, but we did have one that blew up after the outsourcing.
The tens of millions of dollars of outsourcing to Sodexo.
Yeah.
And what was the first thing that the illegal board did when they... Well, first thing they tried to do when they met? Who did they try to renew a contract for?
The illegal board, yes, I understand they have, it was Aramark, actually. We had voted, the old board had voted to issue an RFP mm-hmm. for food service. There was a year left on the contract with Sodexo, but we had instructed the administration to start preparing the planning necessary for bringing that work in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But we specifically issued an RFP on food service, and they canceled that.
Mm-hmm.
Extended Aramark's contract another year. But I want to finish the thing with the station engineers, because here we were at April. So what the board did in April. But there was reluctance or whatever. The administration didn't move on that with the station engineers. So we voted in June, specifically voted in open session, said rehire station engineers.
Rehire them.
Bring the work. We didn't say how many. This is, you know, we've, the administration and the union would negotiate how many are needed now. We have fewer schools, and there are people who retired and all this. But we said, bring station engineers' work back in-house. The Supreme Court order said it was wrong to send it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that trumps a contract.
Right.
So bring this work back in-house and rehire station engineers. Call back by seniority and bring them back. Apparently, that was never done, and there were never any meetings. The legal board came in and stopped that. No meetings with the union, discussion on how to bring people back. And so the union went back to court, and they got a restraining order from Judge Garvey last week.
Jack Garvey. Mm-hmm.
Jack Garvey. He said the school district may not hire anybody to do the work that station engineers have traditionally done.
And there was another wonderful line in there. The school board or whoever it is that thinks
or whoever claims they have the powers of the school board. Yes.
Translate, whoever else thinks they're running this stuff, you all can't do anything either.
That's right.
This is a huge win, a huge temporary restraining order granted to the stationary engineers. You got your jobs. They can't not hire you. They are back on their, they will be back on their jobs.
Well, they should be.
Yeah,
they sure
according
should be.
To the court order.
I mean, if they aren't, then that means it's going to be unsafe in the schools when school starts.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. You've got delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns in the left lane. Northbound Illinois Route 3 on that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow at the top of the ramp. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing as we speak. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 270 at 44 in Doherty Ferry, heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for delays. And that is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 90s this evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 70s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-90s, and Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s as well. Currently, we have 67 degrees and clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? Peter Downs and Liz Brown with St. Louis Schools Watch. That's on the way. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Kirby Van Burch. You won't believe your eyes. At this thrill-a-minute production, packed full of astonishing disappearing acts, huge illusions, and exotic animals. See a royal white tiger, a unicorn, a helicopter appearing in 4 seconds flat, assistance cut in half, one-of-a-kind surprises, and more. Plus, take a magical mystery tour backstage with Kirby and his big cats. Kirby Van Burch. Millions have been amazed. Now it's your turn. Kirby Van Burch Theater, Highway 248, Branson, Missouri, 417-337-7140.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Caitlin Dixon. Call you from McLean School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
Dogs say goodnight. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Real life. On the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two here, Peter. Amanda.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
I was calling Peter to ask him,
the school board about the food service program. When is that contract going to be up? And both with the custodians, I want to know when we can kick them out of there. Or when can we start talking about them going and having nobody else new come on as bad as they were. So when is the contract picked up? That's what I want to know.
All right. There are two different contracts. There's a contract for the food service and the contract for the custodians.
Aramark and Sodexo.
Aramark and Sodexo. And this spring, the elected board had said exactly what you were talking about. With Aramark, we said, look, the contract's coming up. Put out a request for proposals to hire somebody else new to run this for a year while we do the planning to bring it all in-house, find what we need to set it up in-house to do it ourselves. All right, because it's Aramark has completely, you know, cannibalized everything that was down there in the food service center we had before. So we weren't going to get it all set up in 3 months. So that was with food service. Now that has been the illegal board has come in and they've thrown that out and they've given Aramark another year. So that's another year on that. Sodexo has until. Sodexo already had another year in their contract because they had signed a 5-year contract with Slay's board. Mm-hmm. So they had another year. So, again, we had directed the administration to start the planning now to bring all that work back in-house.
So we're not obligated to them beyond another school year.
That's right.
Okay. So there's still room for those things to happen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, depending upon who's able to. To run those contracts.
Well, we still have the lawsuit that's coming up, and I wanted you to remind everybody of when the lawsuit will be heard.
September 25th is the hearing on the lawsuit.
Okay. And that's going to be up.
So that's less than 2 months from now.
That's less than 2 months from now. And one of the other things that we wanted to talk about, because it was important to bring out this Sodexo piece, is let's talk about the teachers, okay?
All right.
And the challenge that faces the teachers' union, and their fight and what they're doing in the midst of this battle that we're engaged in. It's come to my attention that they posed a question by letter to the illegal board and Sullivan. And talk to us about what happened with that.
Well, I don't know whether it's a letter or a meeting, but
okay.
what I've heard. And I've heard this because the teachers union, yesterday, Monday, they had a series of meetings for employees.
Emergency meetings
for employees, not just members, but employees of the district. So Monday was elementary school employees, and Tuesday was middle and high school employees. And what I've heard from people who were at those meetings is that the union reported that the president of local, Mary Armstrong, had in some way communicated with Sullivan, CEO of this illegal board, and Sullivan told her that he's not bound by any policy statements.
Well, what was her query to him?
The union is trying to find out, you know, who they deal with on their contract. I mean, it's as simple as that. They have an agreement with the school district, and the school district is trying to do things that are in violation of that agreement, and so they're trying to figure out. Who do we deal with?
Who's shooting?
Here? And Sullivan has said he's making decisions, but he says he's not bound by that agreement. He's not bound by any policy statements. So
Sullivan says I'm not bound by any policy statement. What does translate that for the listeners out there?
What that means is he's saying this agreement you have with the school district is no good anymore.
Because if I'm in charge,
he's going to do
exactly what I want. Now. Translate what that should mean to somebody that's hearing it. Okay, what that means?
That means a whole host of things. It means things like the class sizes we agreed to. Now we can make them as big as we want.
That's right.
It means we can assign people. We can put people wherever we want. You don't have a right to apply for a particular job and get it based on your seniority. It means we can. We don't have to pay you what that says we're going to pay you. It means you don't have a right to grieve. You know, you don't have to get it. If we do something against the contract, you don't have a right to file a complaint
because
about it and get a hearing.
We don't see a stinking contract.
Because we don't see a stinking contract.
Okay, so you know, how can you have a grievance procedure for something that doesn't exist? I'm not bound by anything. And this goes back, and I just have to say this goes back to the very beginning, Peter, when Roberti came in as a result of Francis Slay's majority board. And what we said at the time was that these people are going to tear down every, you cannot work with these people. You have to engage in an act that shuts this down, that says, you know what, I peep you all, I know exactly what you all are going to do, and here is going to be my insurmountable, immovable, I'm not going to try to negotiate with people that see no value in me. And I think that we have another one of these aha moments here with Sullivan for the teachers union. Sullivan is saying, I don't have to abide by your stinking agreement. That means all bets are off. So it seems to me that the teachers union should be responding at, okay, we can't negotiate with terrorists. You just can't negotiate with terrorists. So what are you going to do in response to that?
I think that is the question they're facing. I think you're right. And I think the, that's something they have to decide. That's the discussion they're having. I know, hearing from some of the teachers who are saying, for whom a lot of this is new. Mm-hmm. You know, we follow this every week, and there are a lot of people who do, but a lot of people, even employees, who don't. And go, wow, this is new, and then saying, you know, we need to tell this to parents, too.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, and we talked about this last week, and there was some grumbling out there in the world about us saying this on the air last week, but I will repeat it. What was said in terms of when you are fighting a battle like this, and I'm speaking specifically to the teachers and the teachers union out here, it's one thing what you say to your teachers within the confines of your teachers' meetings to inspire them to get into the battle, to make a connection and vest in the battle that has been brought to their front door. It's one thing for you to tell teachers, they're going to take away your salary. They're going to make you have to, you're not going to have any more co-pays. You're going to have to pay, you know, everything's going to be out of pocket. That's an internal discussion within the confines of your teachers. But when you're out here in the community, you're going to have another strategy to connect the community to your plight. And the strategy of connecting the community to your plight is not to talk about your loss of salary. It's not to talk about your bigger copay, because a lot of folks out there don't even have health insurance. Your responsibility is to talk about the larger picture of what is lost to a community when we lose a public school system, the largest one in the state, and what harm is brought to our children.
Well, I think that big picture has to be done. I think you're going out to the community, and I think you got to talk to people about the report the state used to put this illegal board in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that report says close schools.
That's right.
Right. That report says larger class sizes, and that report says get rid of this contract with the teachers and pay them less.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think you start off with thinking we're going to lose schools. We're going to jam as many kids as they can in classes. They're going to be, you know, shoulder to shoulder, not able to do anything. And they want lower quality teachers, because that's what you get. I mean, you know, teachers can go anywhere
in
this area.
Yeah, they can.
And so if you're saying we're going to cut the salaries here, which are already lower than suburban districts, and you're going to cut them more, then what they're saying is they don't want qualified teachers. That the state doesn't want qualified teachers.
This illegal board.
And if you don't have qualified teachers, they aren't going to be able to teach. You know, you tell them they aren't going to be able to teach your kids.
Those are the issues that you bring to. You make a connection with communities, and you make a connection with the community on a broader issue than your loss of salary. And that is my concern about the fight that's taken outside of the confines of what you tell your teachers in your teachers' meeting. Because this has always been a bigger issue. And I go back again to the beginning of it. The hesitancy of the teachers to shut the stuff down in the beginning was about the concern of their jobs. You know, and how did that work out for you? How did that concern about your jobs work out for you? Because a lot of teachers have lost their jobs anyway, you know, and there's been a steady stream of destruction going down the river here, because
people were hesitant to see this for what it was and hesitant to see it in terms of anything but a loss of their job.
Yeah. And, you know, individually, a lot of the teachers have, like I said, they have other options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, being destroyed in St. Louis, all right, I'll go someplace else, get another job.
There you go.
And we see that this year. Even though the retirements didn't happen for that early separation plan,
mm-hmm.
they did. They didn't get what they wanted, but I understand they have 200 teacher vacancies anyways because teachers just up and left.
Wow. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. We'll get to some of your calls, questions, and comments as well. Stay with us. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Are you an inventor or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
People, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Kayla Thompson calling you from the Clear School, second grade, on 209. Thank you, Miss Lee, for buying me a pretty necklace in Africa. Every time I wear the pretty necklace, I think about you. When I grow up, I would like to be just like you. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. You are a very beautiful lady, and you are special to me. I love you so much, Miss Liz. Yesterday, I received a trophy for this is. A trophy. This is Kayla Thompson from 209, where dignity reigns supreme. From all the children in room 209, have a great summer. We love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and let's get to some of our callers here. Harry, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Liz. Good morning to you, and good morning to Peter. Peter keeps referencing of the report that put the board together, I guess, when he says that the closing of schools and the larger classes. Can he tell me how we can get a hold? I'd like to read that report.
It used to be on the internet under what do they call it? St. Louis Public Schools Special Committee. I'll have to look that up and see if we can get that
you
back
can
to you.
Try Googling the Danforth Report. You
yeah,
can
Danforth
try,
Freeman.
Yeah, you can try Googling that, because I know even in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, they had links to it. I don't know if those
right.
links are still active, but I would try that Googling the Danforth Report, St. Louis, and Freeman, or Frankie Freeman as well,
right.
and see if you can get it that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Very interesting.
All right. And if you have any, you can always email me and at revolution@lizbrown.com, and I'll put a reminder to see if I can find a copy. I might have a copy on my computer that I can forward to you.
Got to read that.
Okay.
Got to get into that. Thank you so
All
much.
All right. Take care. Denise.
Yes.
Good morning. What's
Good morning. Yesterday there was a town hall meeting. State Representative Alameen had a town hall meeting at World Center, and Mr. Sullivan was one of the guest presenters. And he keeps stating that he's trying to work with the teachers. In fact, he's scheduled to have a meeting Thursday with the teachers' union. And that all the stuff that's been coming out, he said, was incorrect. That he wants to work with the teachers, and that he's trying his best to do whatever he can to help the school get moving. Get moving. In fact, he said that the curriculum is in place, textbooks are in place, and there's good, and there's some positiveness going on. So,
can you
explain that to me, please?
Well, when you heard it, did you believe it?
I tried to believe it, but I don't know.
What made you go to the town hall meeting?
State Representative Alameen. This was his town hall meeting.
So how did you hear about the meeting?
He sent flyers in the mail.
Okay, and all right. So let's address some of the things that Sullivan is saying. Now, I guess I need to ask you this really quickly here before I let Peter address some of the things that he said. Do you feel comfortable with somebody who's not from St. Louis, who has no education experience, who hasn't had a good solid 3 months on the job here? He hasn't been on the job for 3 months while school has been in session, who doesn't know anything about running a district. Do you feel comfortable with someone like him saying everything is good to go? How could he possibly know?
I really can't feel comfortable with him, but he had an outline with him, and the outline sounded positive. But as I said before, I'm not.
Denise, do you have a copy of that outline that he had with him?
No, I don't have a copy of it, but he said that it will probably be available at the beginning of the school year when the teachers all get together.
He didn't hand out an outline or anything like that for anybody to take out the building with him.
No.
Oh, so what, did he have a PowerPoint presentation or something?
No, he didn't. He did a verbal presentation.
So how do you know he had an outline?
We saw it on the desk on the podium when he was talking.
So he was reading from
something. He was reading from his outline.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let Peter address some of the things that you said. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Well, like I said, the first thing that comes to mind, something I think everybody here can identify with Sullivan saying he wants to work with the teachers union. Is, President Bush keeps saying he wants to work with the Democratic Congress on Iraq, too. But, his idea of working with them on Iraq is that Congress gives him everything he wants.
Exactly. And that's exactly the same way with Sullivan. His idea of working with, and give the example, Peter, of working with you. Because Sullivan admits through his own mouth that you are still in authority. I mean, you still have some authority.
Right.
And so what is his response to working with you?
Yeah, just to clarify that for people, Sullivan has admitted in court that the elected board still has authority to monitor and audit the district and then report to the public what's going on in the district. That means that we have the authority to request and demand information on things to then report to the public.
In order to report to the public.
And even though he has admitted that, and he's admitted it in court, when we actually ask for an information, he says, you aren't getting anything until you dismiss your lawsuit.
Drop your lawsuit.
And recognize me as the boss.
And that, if that's not George Bush, well, he is a Republican, and he has Condoleezza Rice sitting there with him. So I'm not surprised that we are seeing Republican-like responses to, again, this is public stuff. This is the work of the people. A public school is the best example of a democracy. This is what America is all about, public schools. And what is his response to a public school is, you do what I say when I say it and how I say it, and if you don't do it when I say it and how I say it, I'm not gonna respond to you at all.
That's right.
I mean, he's completely anti-democracy, and you can see that in his actions. So how could anybody who, it's like me going into a shoe factory. I don't know anything about how shoe factories are run. I don't know what it takes. And me not being there for a month while a shoe factory is operating, and me going out to the board and saying, everything's fine. Shoes are going to be, how would I know that? I haven't had an opportunity to learn anything about how a shoe factory runs. How could I give assurances about anything? The only honest thing that I could say is that, you know what, I've been told that, but I certainly can't say that because I'm still learning this job.
Yeah.
I'm still learning this job, and Sullivan doesn't know jack about how to road and run a district, and he hasn't had enough time, and quite frankly, he hasn't expressed an interest in trying to figure it out. Let's get to some callers here. And I'm going to talk about Talib and his response and his connection to the Republican Party, because Talib is the same elected official who got $40,000 cash money in his committee from the wealthiest Republican who advocates on the part of charter schools. This is a man who gave $100,000 to Matt Blunt and other Republicans out here. And Talib, on his first year, he hadn't even been up there a year. And what did he walk home with? $40,000 from a Republican who's all about
vouchers.
So it is not surprising that Talib is bringing Sullivan to your community, because Talib is bringing charter school or vouchers to your community as well, because he's taking money from those that advocate for that. And let me get to Margaret.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
To both of y'all. Liz and Peter, I hope we'll be a success in regards of the elected school board that the public voted on and put in. That when several, because I don't like this judge that who's going to represent, the elected school board that's in Cole County. It's just, there's something about him. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
And I hope things work out in behalf of you all, for us in this concern. And I just don't pay no attention to all them. You got blacks out there sneaking with them. They're trying to get the charter school and slay all of them. You understand what I'm saying?
Thank you
and
so
I
much.
And I hope things work out for us when we go to court.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Let's get to some of our other callers here. Robin.
Good morning. How are you?
Outstanding.
I've got a question. When I was just listening to the young lady calling Denise, and she said that they had a town hall meeting. Did they announce it on the news that they were having a town hall meeting, with Sullivan?
Well, she said that she got a letter from her, from Talib, who got $40,000 from Republicans.
Because that sounds like a silent town hall meeting to me.
Oh, I don't think it does.
If
that's not surprising that a state rep would only send letters to his constituents about a town hall meeting. I'm not mad about that. I am more concerned about that Talib was more than likely Talib did not disclose that he had received $40,000 from voucher people. And when you take away the $40,000 out of his committee report, he only has $3,000 left in there. So who owns him? Who owns Talib? The voucher people. I'm sure he didn't share that information.
How can everything, like you said, be so fine in just, a couple of weeks? Last month they were saying how the school was in such a disarray, but now everything is okay.
Everything is fine.
They need to open up their eyes. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe.
Yes.
Quickly, please.
I was there last night, and the question was posed to Sullivan in reference to the $123 million. Would he go after it? As though he didn't know that there was a time frame relative to going after that $123 million.
Well, he's an idiot. Why would he know? I mean an idiot from the perspective of, you may know how to go build houses in communities other than the city of St. Louis. You may know how to go and do that, but you certainly don't know anything about what's going on in this district. How could the CEO of the largest school district in the state of the so-called CEO of the largest school district in the state of Missouri not know about a $123 million money pot waiting for the district? How could you not know that?
In addition to that, he indicated that he had to go along with fulfilling the obligation with the Sodexo and Airmort.
See, he knew that.
Well, yes, but I said, well, what about the 40 kids who were poisoned with food poisoning?
Didn't know anything about that.
What about that being sufficient to break the contract? You know, he said, well, there has to be a desire to do that, and, of course, he didn't respond. Incidentally, there was information passed around about the $40,000 that El Amin had received. His wife got really hostile at the end.
I bet he did.
In reference to that information.
I bet he did. Who got hostile? Who got hostile about it at the end?
His wife came up. Yaffe.
Yaffe got upset about it. I bet she did.
She addressed the audience at the end about that information.
What, is it not true? Did she say it was not true?
Well, she indicated that a lot of information in the flyer wasn't true.
Yeah, whatever. Thanks for your
call.
I bet she didn't. Can't hide that one. Peter, thank you so much. Not next week, but the week after, maybe?
Probably. I'll be gone for 2 weeks, probably.
Okay. Thank you so much. See you soon. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Yes, many.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Presidential hopeful Barack Obama is making a bold proposal in a speech today. Aides say he'll suggest pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq and redeploying them to Afghanistan and Pakistan with or without Pakistan's permission. More from ABC's Jake Tapper.
Senator Barack Obama hopes today's speech will ramp up his candidacy a notch, showing him not only as a youthful idealist, but someone who would pursue a muscular foreign policy and protect the U.S. Pulling troops from Iraq, a war he will say made the U.S. less safe, and calling for, quote, at least two additional brigades to Afghanistan to reinforce our counterterrorism operations and support NATO's efforts against the Taliban, as well as an increase of non-military aid to Afghanistan by $1 billion. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
In Iraq, three separate vehicle bombings have killed at least 25 people. The Bush administration has confirmed there are other terrorist surveillance methods secretly in use aside from the ones we know about. ABC's Ann Compton has some details.
Even President Bush has revealed details about controversial warrantless wiretaps. But a new letter to Congress from National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell is the first public acknowledgement there are other secret directives underway as well. McConnell confirms they were all part of the same executive order after September 11th, and he says they are still top secret. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Media mogul Rupert Murdoch is adding the Wall Street Journal to his substantial stable. He's made a $5 billion deal to buy the journal's publisher, Dow Jones & Company. Some employees say the paper will retain its integrity and readers won't notice a difference. Others are nervous about the ownership being turned over to the man who owns the Fox News Channel and MySpace. If you work near a laser printer, you may be exposed to a hidden danger. Australian researchers say some laser printers kick out a surprising amount of ultrafine particles that can cause everything from respiratory irritation to cancer. They say in some cases it's the equivalent to sitting next to a smoker. This is ABC News.
Will you love me when I turn six?
Of course I will love you when you're six.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers 6 standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on an HTSA 5-star front and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
If you saw the movie and still can't get enough of The Simpsons, ABC's Bill Deal has just the thing for you.
You're going to destroy Springfield!
Now that The Simpsons movie is out, a huge hit at the box office, here comes a book, The World According to The Simpsons, from Stephen Keslowitz.
What I tried to do is talk about The Simpsons in the context of society and all the issues that The Simpsons addresses and how The Simpsons uses humor to teach us about interesting things.
Who's your favorite Simpsons character?
It's Homer. He's so dumb, but we see ourselves in him. Looking at Homer is sort of like looking in a carnival funhouse mirror. We see ourselves as sort of a distorted version.
Stephen Keslowitz, author of The World According to the Simpsons.
Did I save the day?
Actually, you doomed us all.
Bill Deal, ABC News.
Nicole Richie is confirming a rumor telling ABC's Diane Sawyer she's pregnant, about 4 months along, and can't hide it anymore. She also says she pleaded guilty to DUI because it's something she did wrong and she has a responsibility as an adult to do her time. The interview airs on ABC's Good Morning America tomorrow. I'm Karen Chase.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
With another WGNU local report, I'm Peyton Colston. Yesterday, at the Missouri State Legislature's 2007 Transportation Funding Summit, the Joint Committee on Transportation Oversight met at the Capitol Plaza Hotel in Jefferson City and listened to presentations by various leaders in the realm of transportation. State Senator Bill Stouffer, a Republican from Napton, co-chairs the committee and says his goal is to target the funding needs for the state's transportation department.
We want to take a look at where Missouri is as far as funding for transportation is concerned. Then we want to go to a national panel that will help us talk about what's coming down from the federal level, what other states are doing.
During the meeting, attendees reviewed what other states are doing regarding transportation infrastructure funding. State Senator Joan Bray, a Democrat from St. Louis, says there are other transportation demands besides funding for Missouri roadways.
We've got an aging population. We have the demands of the 21st century. We've got global warming. We've got the whole issue of fuels. And so what we really do need to be talking about, and everything that happens today, some of us are going to be thinking of this total picture of the system, a true system, not just the connection of roads.
Bray says a true system of transportation should provide mobility for people and moving goods. She adds that Missouri is located near the center of the United States and should therefore be a leader in transportation issues. That's another WGNU local report. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Northbound 270 between Ladue and Olive. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked at said Olive. Look for delays. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for slowdowns there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street in the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays, especially in the left lanes. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for slowdowns. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. You've got heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. You've got heavy volume there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving slowly across the span into the landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is slow at the top. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays. Northbound 55, from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for slowdowns there. And northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for delays. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s this evening, mostly clear, lows in the lower 70s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-90s. Thursday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees, clear skies, Lambert Fields reporting 75. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, more with Liz Brown and its riveting radio. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business, much business, much business to tend to. One of the stories that we have covered continuously, I remember coming in early from my vacation to begin the conversation about what was happening to people of African descent, to people in New Orleans, to people along the Gulf Coast when Katrina sat down on its coast. I remember spending hours on this show, bringing guest after guest on to talk about this, from Maxine Waters to John Conyers to Howard Dean. We had all kinds of people on this show to talk about and address this issue. And the fact remains that I am a woman of African descent. I have been a woman of African descent my whole life. Been here. And as a woman of African descent who has her eyes wide open by choice and by force, I understood then, I believed then, I predicted then that at the time that Hurricane Katrina sat down on the Gulf Coast, the Hurricane Katrina would reveal this country's ability to address honestly and openly the issue of race. And what Hurricane Katrina revealed is something that those of us that are of African descent should know and do know, is that nothing has changed in this country. That when it comes to institutionalized racism, ain't much difference from 1807 to 2007. And we're going to have a conversation this morning about this, specifically the things that have been occurring all along the Gulf Coast in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And my guest this hour joining me in the studio to facilitate this conversation about what is happening in New Orleans, along the coast, along the Gulf Coast in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, is Malcolm Suber. Malcolm, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting us to
participate.
And Malcolm, tell the folks out here, what is your role right now with respect to the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina?
Well, basically, I'm the national organizer for the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. The People's Hurricane Relief Fund was founded in September 2005 by a group of activists from New Orleans who had worked in separate organizations prior to the storm, but who realized that unless we got ourselves together, that the rich ruling class and their loyal black flunkies were going to carry out the program that they had carried out before the storm, which, of course, is the exclusion of poor black working class people to have a voice in the preparations, in the relief, or in the recovery. So we came together basically around five principles, the main one being that everyone who lived in the city of New Orleans in the surrounding region had the right to return. We suspected from the very beginning that they were going to use the excuse of the storm to rid the city of its black majority.
And take advantage of it.
Take advantage mm-hmm. of a natural slash man-made problem mm-hmm. because one must realize the problem in New Orleans was not one of the hurricane, but it was the failure of the levees which were supposed to be maintained by this federal government.
Oh, it is more than a failure. There's a big boom out there, too. There was a big boom in those levees, too.
Yeah. Yes, it was reported that they were blown.
Yeah. So we have that. We have that issue out there, too. Man-made, manufactured, however we got there. It's still there.
It's still there.
And we have to talk about that, and we're going to take a quick break here. I'm having a conversation with Malcolm Suver, the national organizer for the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back to talk more about the aftermath of Katrina and also a tribunal that is going to take place to address this issue and also a forum tonight to talk about some of these issues. Oh, that and so much, so much, so much more. Stay with me. Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Don't leave home without it.
Promise is a promise. That's what I'm talking about. We're here having a discussion. I'm here with Malcolm Suber, and we're talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. We're talking about the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. We're talking about tribunals. We're talking about discussions, and we're talking about the specifics of what has happened to the communities along the Gulf Coast in the aftermath of Katrina. And Malcolm, you were talking about the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. Talk to us specifically about the mission of this organization.
Okay, our mission is to organize our people so that they can be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think that anyone who is an internally displaced person should, based of all, there's an international treaty that the United States is a signature of that says that internally displaced persons are actually the wards of the central government, in this case the federal government, and that the federal government should be responsible to make sure that these people are taken care of and that they are assisted in getting back home. And on every test, FEMA and the federal government failed the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast.
It's really kind of ugly, or kind of insulting and infuriating to hear this administration talk smack about we care about the internally displaced millions in Sudan.
Right.
You know, when you have hundreds of thousands of internally displaced people here in the United States due to your own actions. I mean, we can talk a million days about what is happening in Sudan. But you did this. This administration did this.
Right. And basically put us on the new slave ships, put us on buses to destinations unknown, put us on planes to destinations unknown, and just like when they kidnapped us from Africa, dropped us off in strange lands and say, well, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
And
the only thing different is that we know how to speak the language.
Right, right. And of course, people from the Gulf Coast love their own homes, want to get back to their own homes. But we've got to realize the people who were left behind were the people who were at the bottom already. They don't have any savings. They don't even have friends with any savings. And so you're left out by yourself, and you're looking to the government, and they're telling you, well, I can't do nothing for you.
And then we also have to talk about, Malcolm, the other or the fourth estate, the additional arm of this particular that is made clear with this particular administration, the media. The media is assisting the government in characterizing this argument from the perspective of, you expect the government to take care of everything? You
right.
know, who are you? The government doesn't owe you anything. So we have these two things going on, the government that's not doing anything, and then a media that's assisting the government, enabling the government in their bad, wrong, illegal doings.
Right. I mean, the question that we're confronted with all the time is, it's almost 2 years. Won't you get over it?
Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Let it go. And you're saying, but have you ever gone away from your house thinking that you're going to be gone for 3 days and you're gone for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you've lost loved ones. You lost everything that was precious to you that made you feel comfortable with your existence. And people can't understand it. Plus, if you go to New Orleans, no matter if you've seen the Spike Lee film, if you've seen news coverage, if you don't go there and see it, where you've got mile after mile after mile of absolute abandoned neighborhoods
and
destroyed and devastation,
mm-hmm.
then it looks like a war zone.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to go off topic just a little bit here, because this is one of the things that's just been sticking in my craw. As we see this presidential race start amazingly early, and people jockeying for the community of African descent's vote.
Right.
And we actually have, if money makes you viable, we have a viable person of African descent in this race. And if money makes you viable, there's a viable woman in this race. And both have laid claim to the attention and the vote of the community of African descent. How does it make you feel, Malcolm, to know that a person of African descent who's clamoring for your vote right now, has not been to New Orleans before this, before he began his run for the president? He's been to Iraq more frequently than he has been to New Orleans in the aftermath of one of the greatest natural disasters in the history of this country.
Well, again, it speaks to the... He has adopted the same racist attitude, which says that black people really don't count, especially poor black people. And
then I want to add also, then you have a John Edwards, who opens up his campaign
in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Yes, yes. And John Edwards is running on that he is the real Democrat, that he is a real person that represents the interests of working class people, what have you. Of course, he's a multimillionaire trial lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the real question is, do people in this country want to live and continue to live in a society that can cast aside people who have been hurt by actions of this very government? And what we in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast are asking is no more than anybody else who is injured would ask, and that is to be repaired.
And the other galling thing, Malcolm, is to listen to how all of these multi-billion-dollar corporations holla poem mouth all the time. We need the government to help us. If we're going to start a liquid coal plant, we need a guarantee from the government that they're going to pay our freight for the time that it takes us to get this up.
Correct.
We have these multi-billion-dollar corporations saying, we need you to pay our freight while we try to go find drugs that we're going to gouge people for when we find them.
Right.
We need, the government has a responsibility, according to the media and this administration, to help out billion-dollar corporations, but what about people?
That's right. I mean, just the farm bill.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
The Democrats came in claiming that they were going to end the farm subsidies.
Yep.
And, of course, they just passed farm subsidies.
Yes, they did.
And of course, the real story behind that is these subsidies don't go to the farmers that you believe it is, family farmers.
Right.
It goes to the big corporations. And we have corporate welfare. Corporations on the take. And yet they can still castigate poor folks. And of course, the other question is FEMA has decided to go after poor people, saying that they gave out $2,000 to folks who shouldn't have gotten it.
A lousy $2,000.
And yet the insurance companies built the United States government out of billions of dollars, and a federal judge was forced to make the United States defend itself on these things. So we have a whistleblower lawsuit that finally said, yes, we were auditors for these insurance companies, and they stole money from the government, and the government didn't even want to go after these people. And so that shows you that this government is a government of, by, and for the rich,
and
not for the people.
Well, you know, in all fairness, the rich have suffered enough. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Malcolm, I'd like for you to speak to what some people would say, well, gosh, we've sent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to Katrina, to Katrina victims and to the Gulf Coast. Why haven't things been fixed? Can you speak to that when we come back?
Sure will.
All right. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather. Northbound 270 from 44th through Doherty Ferry. Stop and go traffic due to an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's at Doherty Ferry. Northbound 270 from Ladue through Olive. Look for the shoulder blocked due to an accident. Expect slow traffic there as well. That's at Olive. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for delays. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for heavy volume there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving slowly across the span and into the landing. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is starting to free up somewhat. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, still heavy volume around that 44 exchange. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for slowdowns there as well due to heavy volume. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for traffic to be easing. And westbound 5570 from Tudor Avenue into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns. And westbound 64 from Powell Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear, lows in the lower 70s. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-90s. Thursday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees, clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 77. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. More riveting radio with Liz Brown. That's on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. Just to be close to you. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Because then there'll be hell today. I'm late for work again. And even if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Malcolm Suber. He is with the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, and he's joining us here from New Orleans. He's in the studio with me today, and I want to get to a question I asked him on the way out. But before we do that, Malcolm, you're going to be part of a panel discussion tonight.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, what's the panel discussion about?
It's about environmental racism in the aftermath of Katrina. Basically, we will be giving an update on what's happening in New Orleans now, and along with the panel, we will, of course, entertain any questions and answers that the public has. But I think the main thing is, the message is, people should not be lulled into thinking that things are all right down in New Orleans. Things are very wrong.
And that panel discussion is tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books. Legacy Books is located right there at Union and Del Mar, right in the plaza there. I'm also going to be on the panel. Don Fitz is going to be on the panel. I believe Zaki Baruti is going to be the moderator for the panel. And it's an important discussion to come out and get some specifics about what's happening in the aftermath of Katrina. And that's tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books. And Legacy Books is located right there at Union in Del Mar, right in the plaza. Come on down and be part of this discussion. Now, Malcolm, on the way out, I asked you about what some people would say about, well, good golly, the international community gave over $800 million to help the citizens of Katrina rebuild and come back home and all of that. Where'd the money go?
Well, the prideful, evil United States government refused to accept money because it says we are the richest, most powerful country in the world, so certainly we can take care. At least that's the public presentation. But those of us on the ground realize that of the $100 billion that was appropriated by Congress, less than $40 billion has been spent down there, and next to nothing has gotten into the hands of the people in New Orleans. So it's very important that people understand that this government, even though Bush came down there for a photo op last September 2005 and said that they were going to go all out, do everything to rebuild New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, that was just more lies and propaganda. And we can say without fear of contradiction that this government, first of all, owes to the people of New Orleans, especially New Orleans in terms of the failure of the levees that its Corps of Engineers was given the responsibility to do. And if you don't understand that we need to be made whole, everybody along the Gulf Coast needs to be made whole, then I think that you need to have a check on your own morality and your own sense of fairness and justice.
And I look at who's getting paid and who's getting pursued here. When we talk about who's getting paid and who's getting pursued here, one of the things that I want to talk about is that there's been a lot of news media out there about these $2,000 checks that went out to people, and we've gotten a lot of media reports largely coming from our government and then stirred up in addition by those that support the actions of this government that all these people got this money, and this just shows that everything that goes into this area is taken advantage of. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, when people left, were actually forced out at gunpoint from New Orleans, they were left with no funds in strange cities across this country. And basically, the federal government made a decision that everybody who was a resident in that area was eligible for $2,000, and if you signed up with FEMA, you got $2,000. No questions asked. Now, all of a sudden, they said that so many people committed fraud that they are going after folks and demanding that the little people who got $2,000, as if that's a huge amount of money, are being pursued and threatened with prosecution. Now, this is against a backdrop, however, of insurance companies willfully bilking the government, contractors willfully bilking the government, not $1,000, but hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, and yet the government does not go after them.
And let's talk about going after someone. There was a you spoke to me off the air about a congressman who was outraged about the government going after anybody with these $2,000 checks. Tell us that story.
Yes, one of the congresspeople out of Texas' daughter went to school in Louisiana. And
this is a white congressman.
This is a white congressperson from Texas. His daughter went to school in Louisiana, and of course, everybody who was there and left the school was eligible for $2,000. She was there. She got $2,000. She cashed a check. And then suddenly, this past spring, she got a letter, along with thousands of other college students and others, that said that, well, you were not eligible for this money, so you got to send it back. And, of course, he was upset that his daughter didn't ask for the money. She was eligible for the money at that point, and now they made the decision that she was not eligible.
So this is kind of like, no, this is a retroactive reconfiguration of the rules of engagement here. Unlike what happens with an insurance company, they did very specific things to lie and to cheat and to get the money. These were people that the government said, here's your check, and now the government is saying, well, you didn't meet the criterion, but they weren't given any criterion to begin with.
That's correct.
Other than being a resident of New Orleans.
That's all. All you had to do was say, I was in the hurricane-impacted area, and you were eligible for $2,000. That was it.
And now the government's going to say, well, you can't spend your $2,000 on videos of police academy. Well, why can't I? You didn't say that the money was supposed to be spent on anything.
Right. It's your money. So people can do with the money whatever you want to do. We've got the same situation that's developing, of course, right now with the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Cross collected $2.1 billion for hurricane relief. They set aside $100 billion in this program that they call Means to Recovery. And they set up the rules, and they hid this program. It's a case management thing. We exposed it. Thousands of people are now jamming the Red Cross lines. And basically, the Red Cross is trying to, in a racist and a paternalistic manner, determine who gets the money and how you spend it. And we're saying that the money was given to the Red Cross for the people of the Gulf Coast, and you should begin it in people's hands rather than trying to exclude people.
Well, talk to us about when you say that they're doing it in a racist and paternalistic way. Give us some specifics. What do you mean by that?
Okay. If you are going to participate and get any of this money, and it says in the rules that you're eligible for up to $20,000 per household.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to go through a case manager, and you have to write a life plan. This is my means to recovery. Now, so they can buy you furniture, they can buy you a car, but the way they do it is you contact a vendor, and the vendor has to be approved by the Red Cross. They write the check to the vendor, and the caseworker takes the check to the vendor. At no time do you get to touch the money yourself. And so they're treating you like a six-year-old.
Yes, they are.
And what I told them is that our people, most of our people who were forced out of the city, were not wards of the state before the storm. These were independent people who were poor, working-class people.
So they look at you in the face and say, well, you're going to blow this money. You're going to take advantage of this, so we're going to treat you like we own you.
Right, right. And plus the other thing, of course, I said, well, and if a person is a substance abuser, you can buy me a car Friday and Monday morning. I'll sell it on the block for what I need.
There
So what difference does that make? I said, it's only because you want to control people's lives.
And also, well, and let's, and that aside, the controlling of people's lives, it may just be icing on the cake of trying to hoard and to squat on this money, because somebody gets the interest of all that money sitting there.
Of course they do.
And it is the Red Cross.
Red Cross.
And the Red Cross that has had leadership turned over because of corruption within its own thing, and corruption with how they did how they responded to Katrina. They did an abysmal job of responding to Katrina, but yet the hearts and pocketbooks of Americans filled their coffers.
That's
correct. They did a horrible job, so you can't even manage yourself, and now you're going to tell other folks that we're going to manage your life.
That's correct.
And I'm looking at this story that, you know, if we're talking about corruption and taking advantage of a bad situation, didn't even Bush's brothers make money off of this? Didn't Barbara Bush and make money, donate money in order that her son could make money off of Katrina?
Yes. The Bush's children were part of that whole trailer fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, they bought millions and billions of dollars of trailers, many of them still sitting in fields in Arkansas, that didn't meet criteria. And the other thing, the big story now around these trailers, they're filled with formaldehyde.
Right.
And people are getting sick. And so that's going to be another big tax bill to you taxpayers around the country. So you should really be paying attention and be outraged at how Friends of Bush ended up making money off of the misery and suffering of African and poor white people in the Gulf Coast. And this, again, is part of the plan of the rich people to enrich themselves at every turn.
And we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Malcolm, I'd like to talk about the tribunal that's going to take place later this month in the early part of September. Don't forget, folks, there is a discussion, a panel, a forum taking place tonight with a continuation of the conversation I'm having this morning with Malcolm Suber. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books, right there at the corner of Union and Natural Bridge, right in the business plaza there. Tonight I'm going to be on the panel. We're going to continue this conversation about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, the environmental racism that is taking place in the New Orleans area. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books right there at Union and Natural Bridge. I will be back with more of my discussion. Stay with us. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
St. Paul's Evangelical Church is holding a combination garage and rummage sale and free car wash on Saturday from 8 to 1:30. The car wash is sponsored by St. Paul's Youth Group and will be open at 10 a.m. The rummage sale takes place in the church's multi-purpose room, and the garage sale will be on the parking lot across Warson Road. Find out more about St. Paul's by calling 314-993-0015 or visiting stpaulsefree.org. News to you from AM 920.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape sleepwalking.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, and I was talking to you about a forum that's going to take place tonight at 7 o'clock. That's Union and Del Mar. Thank you all for calling to make that correction. Union and Del Mar, Legacy Books, Union and Del Mar, tonight at 7 o'clock. Please be there. We're going to have a very good discussion about Katrina, the aftermath, the environmental racism, what's going on in the education system there in New Orleans, to compare and contrast to what has happened here in the city of St. Louis with the assault on our public education system. Understand, the people that can't make money in the private sector out there have recognized the billion-dollar money pots that are sitting in school districts, urban school districts all across this country, and they come in for your money. My conversation this hour is with Malcolm Suber. We're talking about the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, but we're also talking about a tribunal, a Katrina and Rita tribunal. Talk to us about that.
Okay. We have accused the United States government of numerous human rights violations. We want this to be broadcast and certified by people from around the world. So what we came up with is the whole idea of an international tribunal to put the United States government and its subdivisions, the state and local government, on trial for human rights violations. We think it's very important that even though people have seen this numerous times on the news broadcast, movies, documentaries, we think it's very important that this be put before an international committee of jurists, and we have people from more than 10 countries are participating: South Africa, Brazil, France, Morocco, Costa Rica. And these jurists, who are experienced judges, trial lawyers, what have you, they're going to examine expert and first-hand witnesses as to the actions and the operations of the United States government prior to, during, and now in the aftermath of the storm. We are pretty confident that the United States government will be found lacking and wanting, but we think it's very important that we document this. And so we're going to have this international tribunal in New Orleans on August 29th through September 2nd.
Tell us what the charges are.
The charges are crimes against humanity, ethnic cleansing and genocide, racial discrimination, and denial of rights of displaced persons, including, but most especially, the right to return.
And so what is the goal of this tribunal?
Well, we want to hold the United States government responsible for its crimes. We want to raise and demand the restitution of people. And we want to, most importantly, advance the development of a reconstruction movement in this country.
How about this? And because, again, I want to move back to something that I brought up a little earlier about how early this presidential race is going on and how people are trying to vie for the support and the attention of people of African descent's votes. Have you invited the presidential candidates, the people that want to be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Mayor Bloomberg, have you invited them to participate in this?
We have issued a public invitation. We are also trying to deliver a people subpoena to the Bush administration.
Subpoena, I like that. I like that.
To the Bush administration, to Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm. Michael Chernoff.
Right, to the mayor of New Orleans and to the governor of Louisiana. We are hoping that they come. We don't expect that they will come. But in absentia, we will still try them because their record is well documented. We can pull the files that they've created themselves, and they will be incriminated by their own inaction.
Now Malcolm, we have a few minutes left here. Can you talk to us about, give us some ideas, some things that people would be surprised to know about that exist in New Orleans in the aftermath of Katrina, that exists along the Gulf Coast in the aftermath of Katrina?
I think most people would be surprised. It's coming up 2 years. The two-year anniversary will be August 29th. I think most people would be surprised that the majority of people from the city of New Orleans are still outside. Of that majority, 70% of that is African-American people. Mm. They would be surprised that there is little activity, even though you've seen on national TV that downtown New Orleans is back up and running.
Well, we had Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. You had Essence.
Yes.
You've had several big events in downtown. But once you cross Claiborne Avenue, the interstate, and go into the neighborhoods, you will see that it looks like the hurricane hit a month ago.
Well, and when we talk about a Mardi Gras or Essence Music Festival and it being successful, did people actually come? Did you feel like when you were in the downtown area that these were the same amount of people that came? I mean, has there been any impact on that?
A lot of people came, and I was kind of disturbed because Essence Partners report that we spent $150 million in New Orleans. But then I say, well, why don't you ask the real question? How much of that $150 million actually trickled down to the black workers in the city of New Orleans? Mm. Most of that money was spent, of course, with the airlines, with the hotels, and none of those are locally owned by people in New Orleans. So you had $150 million of activity to the U.S. economy, but not so much to the local economy. You know, taxi cab drivers made a little money. The restaurateurs made a little money. But of that $150 million, I would say $120 million of that went
elsewhere.
To big corporations. Mm. And so we should seriously think about, instead of spending money to come down there and party and have a good time, let's have a black emergency fund that we contribute to. Mm-hmm. And that would be a worthy goal to me, that let's raise some money so that we can actually get money into the hands of the people themselves and to the hands of the organizations that are doing work to effectively organize our people so that they can be made whole again.
Wouldn't it be lovely as part of this tribunal to ask for an audit of all of these entities out there that receive money hand over fist, because the hearts of millions of Americans were touched by the plight of other Americans in New Orleans. And the proof of that of the hearts being touched was the amount of money that Americans gave to the Red Cross, and gave to all of these other entities that sprung up or entities that existed. Wouldn't it be lovely to have an audit of all of these places? So where did that money go to?
I think that's an excellent idea. That's one of the things that we were founded on, that we wanted transparency in all of the government functions. And most importantly, we wanted representation of working class people on all these boards. And, of course, that has not happened. The rich ruling class is in New Orleans is still trying to make all the decisions for people. And we're saying our slogan is nothing about us without us is for us.
There you go.
And so if we're not in it, it ain't about us. And that's what we've got to understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't see your face, then you ain't in the place. For real. Where can people contact you to find out more about the People's Hurricane Relief Fund and about this tribunal that's taking place in New Orleans in the end of this month?
www.peopleshurricane.org. P-E-O-P-L-E-S, hurricane.org.
And don't forget tonight, folks, Malcolm is going to be speaking as part of a panel discussion at Legacy Books at 7 o'clock tonight. The address is Union and Del Mar. That's Union and Del Mar right there in the plaza. Union and Del Mar tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be on the panel as well. Please come on down and participate and get wonderful information and be part of this discussion tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books, Union and Del Mar. Malcolm, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the show.
Thank you.
All right, and I'll be right back. We're going to be talking in the next hour about So Boy George's plan for fixing and addressing the issues in the Middle East is to send billions of dollars worth of weapons into the Middle East and put them in the hands of Saudi Arabia and Israel and whoever else has 10 fingers. That sounds like the plan of the D student, former cheerleader. We're going to be talking about that when we get back. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Media magnate Rupert Murdoch is taking the reins of the Wall Street Journal. ABC's David Neuer tells us the powerful publisher has made a $5 billion deal to buy Dow Jones and Company.
Rupert Murdoch was already a man of enormous power, running one of the few megacorporations still controlled by a single individual. He now adds the Wall Street Journal to the Fox Movie Studio, Fox Television Network, Fox News, satellite television in Europe and Asia, MySpace on the Internet, not to mention the 100 newspapers he already owns.
The deal must first be approved by the government and shareholders. President Bush met with congressional leaders today. ABC's Ann Compton reports from the White House.
Democratic leaders from Congress emerged from their West Wing breakfast promising action this week on two of the president's priorities, Defense Department money and more flexibility for that court, which reviews terrorist intelligence. Congress departs for summer recess at the end of the week.
ABC News has learned that Democratic presidential hopeful Barack Obama plans to make some rather bold proposals in a policy address at a Washington think tank today. ABC's Jake Tapper has a look ahead.
Senator Barack Obama will deliver a major address on terrorism this morning in Washington, D.C., and ABC News obtained some exclusive excerpts in comments that will no doubt be very controversial. Obama will make extraordinary remarks about what he would do to combat terrorism, going so far as to invade Pakistan.
A new study suggests taking a break during your workout could turn up the heat. Researchers found men burned more fat in two separate 30-minute workouts separated by a break than in a straight 60-minute session. Why do people have sex? A University of Texas study found 237 different reasons. The top 25 were about the same for men and women, including attraction and pleasure. One difference was men were more likely to have sex just because it was available, women more likely to do it to please a partner. This is ABC News.
Oh, will you love me when I turn six?
Of course I will love you when you're six.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers six standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received five-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
A huge sculpture of a home destroyed by Hurricane Katrina is being displayed in New York City. ABC's Chuck Sievertson explains.
A life-size casting of a partially collapsed, flood-wrecked New Orleans shotgun home from the Lower Ninth Ward has been erected in Socrates Sculpture Park in a section of the New York City borough of Queens. Some of those around for the unveiling traveled from the Big Easy. The artist, Takashi Horasaki, calls it a displaced shotgun plunked into an unfamiliar landscape like so many New Orleanians. He made a thick skin that recorded damage to the house, peeled it off in sections, reassembling it onto a frame in New York. One observer says it reminds people New Orleans, too, was once solid, but is now delicate. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Rosie O'Donnell is resisting the urge to say, I told you so, in light of star Joan Reynolds' admission that she did indeed have gastric bypass surgery. On her blog, O'Donnell only responded by saying, hmm. However, she had a more enthusiastic response to Drew Carey's selection as the new host of The Price is Right, calling him perfect for the show. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
With another WGNU local report, I'm Peyton Colston. In Lincoln County, authorities say a 41-year-old man has admitted beating and raping a 19-year-old woman at a shed on the man's parents' property. Robert Gnade of Troy, Missouri, apparently knew the teenager, to whom he had offered a trip to a pharmacy so she could pick up a medication. Instead, he took her to the shed, handcuffed her to the ceiling, beat and raped her several times. In a statement released Monday, Lincoln County Sheriff Dan Torres said the crime is, quote, associated with unimaginable brutality that goes far beyond just a sexual assault, end quote. Gnade is 6'8" tall and weighs 215 pounds, while police say the victim is a petite woman. In Richmond Heights, police say the parental guidance requirement program at the St. Louis Galleria seems to be working. We get details from WGNU's Rich LaCroix.
The program was enacted in April after a series of about 25 fights erupted, many involving unescorted juveniles. The program requires anyone 16 and under be accompanied by an adult after 3 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Police say they responded to 441 calls at the Galleria from January to March, resulting in 173 incident reports and 7 felony arrests. Even though the program began 3 weeks into April, the April to June period shows a drop to 324 calls, 136 incident reports, and 2 felony arrests. The Galleria is one of a number of St. Louis area malls that have instituted similar programs to combat a trend of juvenile violence.
That's WGNU's Rich LaCroix, and I'm Peyton Colston with this WGNU local report.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. 255 westbound from Coke Road through Telegraph. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to road construction. It's reduced to one lane down there, and that's causing a whole lot of delays. Eastbound 44 from Berry through Elm. Look for an accident east of Elm, and the left lane is closed, so expect slow traffic northbound. 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry. There's an accident that's been cleared at Doherty Ferry. Look for stop-and-go traffic as a result. Hall Street at Riverview, there's a report of an accident east or westbound 40 between Hanley and 170. Look for road construction reduced the roadway to two lanes, and it's causing some slowdowns there. Eastbound 40 from McLeod Station through Big Bend, there's an addition to the regular road closure at Hanley, so you can expect another right lane to be closed there as well. Eastbound 70 from Lake St. Louis to Bryan Road, road construction there is causing some slowdowns. And Route 55 southbound at Highway Z, look for road construction. Actually, there's a number of ongoing road projects. Just use caution, slow down through the work zones, and give yourself a little extra time to get to where you need to be. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high in the lower 90s this evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 70s. Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-90s, and Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees already at 9 a.m. Lambert Field is reporting 80 and clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. More riveting radio with Liz Brown is on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to this final hour of the Wake Up Call this morning. Many news reports out about billions of dollars that this administration is getting ready to engage in, wants our Congress to engage in billions of dollars worth of weapons to certain states in the Middle East. Is this a good idea? You know, I think, you know, if you start with the premise that it came from maybe a C student, former cheerleader, you know, you can start there and probably say, well, probably not a good idea. But let's have a full and robust discussion about that. The Senior Program Associate at the Arms and Security Project, Frida Berrigan, is joining us this morning from New York City to talk about whether or not this is a good idea. Frida, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Can you give us some the backdrop to this? What is it that this administration is proposing with respect to billion dollars of worth of weapons?
Sure. Well, there are a couple things going on. The first is about $20 billion in new weapon sales to Saudi Arabia.
$20 billion. That's
$20 billion with a B.
Mm.
And then alongside that, because in the past our close ally Israel has opposed advanced weaponry sales to Saudi Arabia, Israel is getting a 25% increase in its military aid. Every year we give the State of Israel about $2.4 billion in a program called Foreign Military Financing. We give about $4.5 billion to the nations of the world in foreign military financing, and Israel accounts for about half of that. So in order to get them on board with this bold new move to sell all of these weapons to Saudi Arabia, we've increased their military aid by 25%.
Is anybody else going to be getting these guns dropping from the sky? Anybody else getting some guns?
Mm-hmm. Egypt will get about $13 billion over the next 10 years, and Israel will get about $30 billion. And then states of Oman, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Qatar, and maybe just a few more will also get new weapon sales.
United
Arab Emirates?
Arab Emirates. Weren't they recently in the news with our country? Didn't our good government have a problem with them recently?
Well, actually, our government has had some form of problem with a lot of these countries recently. The biggest is Saudi Arabia, which members of this administration have accused of facilitating and helping the insurgency in Iraq, arming some insurgent groups that are fighting in Iraq, that are killing Iraqi civilians, that are killing American soldiers. So we have a problem with them there. We have problems with Egypt. We have problems with Kuwait. We have problems with all of these countries, problems that we hope to solve by giving them more weapons and more military aid.
And just hearing about this extraordinary arms deal that this administration wants to push through the Congress, is that unusual? Do we normally hear about this?
No, this arms sales don't always make the front page of the paper. We do sell each year. The United States, which is the largest arms exporter, the largest exporter of weapons to countries throughout the world, most years we sell about $10-12 billion worth of weaponry throughout the world. In 2006, we sold about $20 billion, so we saw a huge uptick in weapon sales throughout the world. Now, this deal alone, it won't happen all in one year, even if Congress, when they come back in September, even if Congress green lights this. But this is a huge sale to one country. So it's in the news for that reason. And then it's also in the news because it's Saudi Arabia, because the 9/11 Commission
singled them out.
And because, Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia.
We have to take a quick break. I'm talking to Frieda Berrigan, Senior Program Associate at the Arms and Security Project, joining us from New York City. We're talking about this extraordinary arms deal that our government this administration wants to engage in. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How dare you create an argument for public health that exempts the casinos? You wouldn't do that. If we had an avian flu epidemic in St. Louis, would you exempt the casinos from those regulations?
Pretty good. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, so it kind of betrayed the argument on its face.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Talk to me while I'm listening now. While this love has a voice that we both can hear. Before you let it go, greatest love I've ever known. Won't you be? Talk to me while I'm.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour about this billion-dollar arms deal that our good government, this administration, wants to engage in with Egypt and Israel and Saudi Arabia to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars. We're having a conversation about, is that a good idea? And I'm talking to Frida Berrigan, Senior Program Associate at the Arms and Security Project, joining us from New York City. And is this a good idea? And I'm not an arms and security expert like you are, but it just sounds like, is pouring gas on a fire, is that too strong of an assessment of this?
Not at all. Not at all, Liz. This is a really, really bad idea. We can look at it from a couple different points of view to come to this conclusion. This administration has said that this deal is in large part about Iran, and it's about strengthening the countries in the Middle East as a bulwark against Iran becoming a major regional player, and, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, a major regional player with nuclear weapons. So we're pouring money into the militaries of all of these other countries in the hopes that they can, basically keep Iran from becoming a major nuclear power. But Iran is 5 or 10 years away from nuclear weapons. They don't have any nuclear weapons right now. And while they're working on it, there's lots of opportunities for the United States, for the United Nations, for the countries in Europe, for countries in the region to discourage and help Iran turn away from this path. One of the key pieces of this is the countries of the region exposing Israel, which is a nuclear power, has 200 nuclear weapons, and is a large part of Tehran's calculations as it moves forward on this course towards nuclear weapons. So it's going to fail.
And I guess I'm having trouble with the strategy of this. What is the articulated strategy of giving $30 billion in new weaponry to Israel and $13 billion to Egypt? What is the strategy of this? What is the 1 plus 1 equals 2 of this? Giving Israel $30 billion in new weapons does what?
Well, Yeah, it's easy to get confused because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, the heart of this is the weapon sales to Saudi Arabia, right? And so the military aid to Israel is just to make Israel comfortable with the fact that Saudi Arabia is getting all of these weapons.
Okay,
we're giving all of these weapons to Saudi Arabia, one, because we want somebody to keep pace with Iran.
Can anybody say what the pace of Iran is?
No, that's the other thing, is that we don't know. And we don't know in part because we're not engaged and because we're not asking.
It's helpful not to know. I guess it's easier to say to not know and then just say tell people we need to do it because.
Right, Yep. And then the other piece of this is Iraq. And the fact that Iraq is a failed state, is in civil war, is in sectarian conflict, is an occupied nation, occupied by the United States, that we made it a failed state, that we have created a black hole in the heart of the Middle East, and that the consequences and the impacts, which are devastating, are rippling out and affecting all of the other countries in the region. And this war is very, very unpopular in the Middle East, and yet the United States needs Saudi Arabia, it needs Kuwait, it needs Oman, it needs Egypt, it needs all of these countries as, well, it at least needs them not to be against the war in Iraq. So it's a payoff.
Well, do we know that anybody has asked for this payoff? Do you know what I'm saying? Did Saudi Arabia say, look, in order to keep us on your side, we need this many billion dollars of weapons?
I mean, I don't think anybody came right out and asked for it, but it's clear that there's a bargain here.
I'm going to give you tens of billions of dollars worth of weapons. Is there going to be a list to do or a list of not to do's accompanying those weapons?
No.
Huh?
There isn't. Nicholas Burns, who's in the State Department, he works under Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, said there is no quid pro quo here.
Huh?
Right. And now, there's a whole long record of the United States having quid pro quos with other countries, exchanging weapons for things that we need and not getting them, right? So it's sort of a failed thing, right? Like it hasn't worked in the past. But this time, there's nothing. There is no agreement written down. There is no list of assurances.
Sell them to anybody they want to. They can give them away if they want to.
Yeah, they could do that. So I mean, as you probe this, right, as one looks closely at this, we can see that we've, spent, $460 billion on the war in Iraq so far. 4,000 American soldiers almost have been killed. Tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians have been killed. And now on the heels of all of that money, there's an article in the New York Times today about how the war might cost $1 trillion. Right, and then we go into numbers that none of us even understand. They're so large. And then on top of that, on the heels of that failed strategy, we are pouring new money to the countries of the region because there's not the political leadership, there's not the political will to say we failed, and the only thing that we can do is leave. The only thing that we can do is not occupy this nation anymore because we are not a force for stability. We are not a force for security. We are a catalyst of violence. We are perpetrating violence, and we need to leave. And because Washington can't do that, even though that's the will of the American people, that's certainly the will of the Iraqi people, and that's the only thing that's going to put Iraq back on the right track, and it's not a magical solution. It's not going to happen overnight. Because Washington doesn't have the political will to do that. This is the solution. The solution to, the fact that, Iraq is imploding and it's going to take other countries with it.
But can we, and I guess we're going to have to take a break here, Frieda, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about the other side of this from the perspective of, okay, this administration says giving billions of dollars in arms, new arms to these nations works. I'd like to talk about what's the other side of that discussion of what the introduction of these new weapons does in terms of why it doesn't work with Iraq, what it does to Iraq, what it does to the Palestinians, what it does to Lebanese to see these kinds of weapons coming into the regions and being put in the hands of the people that they're being put into. I'm talking to Frieda Berrigan. She is a senior program associate at the Arms and Security Project, joining us from New York City. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. people. Have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Bryant.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why. You can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour, I'm having a discussion with Frieda Berrigan. She is the Senior Program Associate at the Arms and Security Project, joining us from New York. And we're talking about this extraordinary arms deal that George W. Bush is attempting to obligate our country to, billions of dollars in arms. Let me get to a caller or two, and then we'll get back to you, Frieda. Zach, good morning.
Hi, Liz. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I think, you know, one of the your guest mentioned earlier, you know, that this arms deal is sort of a payoff to Saudi Arabia for not standing in opposition to the Iraq war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to an extent that that's true, but I think to a larger extent, if you step back and you look at that region and what goes on in a lot of countries in the Middle East are these proxy wars that are fought between Iran and Saudi Arabia through Shia and Sunni militias. And I think, you know, what we have in Iraq is you have Iran funding Shia militias, fomenting sectarian violence, and now we find out we have Saudi Arabia funding Sunni militias, fomenting sectarian violence, and we want to go to war with Iran, but we want to send Saudi Arabia weapons. And what I submit is happening here is we're choosing our sides in the proxy Shia-Sunni conflict. We're also arming Sunnis directly in provinces in Iraq to quote-unquote counter al-Qaeda forces. But what ends up happening is we are sending billions of dollars worth of arms to sectarian Sunni militias, and in effect, we're responsible for the exact things that we want to go to war with Iran for now. You know, so it's like, it's amazing to me this administration's ability to fly in the face of its own ridiculous rhetoric.
Thanks for your call, Zach.
Thank you.
And Frida, can you respond to some of that?
Sure. What I think is really interesting is some of the administration. Well, I think the caller's right, and I think that that's a dimension to all of this that's certainly not getting covered in the mainstream press. I think most Americans hear the word Shia and Sunni and their eyes glaze over. But these distinctions are really important, and they're religious divisions, but they're also political divisions. But one of the things that the administration is saying, we heard Condoleezza Rice say, you know, she's traveling through the region right now, saying this weapons package is to, quote, bolster the forces of moderation in the region.
Bolster the forces of moderation? How many billions of dollars worth of arms bolsters moderation?
Right. Well, at least $63 billion to these countries. So I was so interested by this phrase, bolster the forces of moderation, that I, and hearing it from the Secretary of State, that I went to the State Department's website, and every year the State Department puts out a human rights practices report, and they look at every country in the world, and it's an annual report, and you know, some countries are improving and some countries are getting worse in terms of their human rights record. So who are the forces of moderation in the Middle East, right? We're looking at eight countries that are going to get this $63 billion. Of those eight, only Israel is a democracy, right? And Israel is a democracy, but only for Israelis, right? So as far as the Palestinians are concerned, you know, there's not democracy for the Palestinians. So Egypt is, you know, ostensibly a democracy, but they've been under a state of emergency for more than 20 years. And the rest of the countries are monarchies, right? They're ruled by kings. They're ruled by emirs. So no democracies really are part of the forces of moderation that we're bolstering with all of this weaponry. And is there freedom of assembly? Is there freedom of religion? Is there freedom of speech? All of the freedoms that, you know, perhaps we enjoy, none of these countries safeguard these rights. And then, you know, in Kuwait, there's the security forces kill people with impunity in Egypt and Qatar, and also Israel against the Palestinians. The use of torture is sanctioned in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates. Flogging, public flogging, and other corporal punishment is used for those who have been found to have committed crimes. Abuse of women throughout these countries that are the forces of moderation is rampant, including female genital mutilation in Egypt. So, I mean, when you look at the human rights practices, the human rights records of all of these countries, when you look at, you know, the form of government that people live under, how are these the forces of moderation? And how can President Bush, as he said, with Prime Minister Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister who was here a few days ago, he did this sort of song to liberty, freedom and liberty, and these are the values that we share, and all people in the world need to be free, and blah, 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 blah. It was like this sort of beautiful sentiment about freedom and liberty. And yet, that one of the biggest arms deals in the world is going to these eight countries where people are not free, where there's not democracy. So I think it's interesting to line up the rhetoric from the administration with the administration's own reports. These are State Department documents, and you basically say, as they say in Maine, you can't get there from here. You can't get from supporting monarchies and dictatorships to democracy and liberty.
Well, talk to us about, okay, George Bush's argument is that this is going to bring stability because we're putting $63 billion worth of weapons, new weapons, into the world, in this region, and into the hands of these particular states. Talk to us about how destabilizing that act is.
Right. Well, you're looking at the possibility of, or not the possibility, you're looking at a new arms race, right? All of these countries racing against each other.
I mean, doesn't Iran really, really, really need nuclear weapons now?
Well, you can see the logic, right? The region is occupied, right, both in Saudi Arabia and Iraq. There are tens of thousands of U.S. troops. Israel has nuclear weapons, and all of these other countries are getting advanced conventional weapons. So if you were sitting in Iran, what would you do?
Well, let me ask you this, Frida. Is it fair to theorize that maybe this is simply a provocative act on the part of this administration to get Iran to do something to justify a preemptive strike?
Well, that's sort of the line that your caller was taking there. And you know, I mean, would you put it past this administration to do something like that? Would a provocative act by Iran and then a bold move, a counter move by the United States, would that increase President Bush's approval ratings in this country? Would it give the Republicans a new lease on life as they
would it cause Democrats to stand down if all of a sudden we are in this new war with Iran?
Mm-hmm. Right. As we move closer towards the election season and the presidential elections of 2008, we might see many more of these sort of bold,
provocative,
bold and provocative moves on the part of this administration as it desperately tries to get ahead of, get in front of the tidal wave that its policies have created.
And what about the impact of this on Lebanon? How does this impact Lebanon?
Well, I mean, it's going to have negative consequences everywhere. And Lebanon has gone through this incredible, well, it's been the victim of this bombardment. We're almost a year out from Israel's attack on Lebanon, the saturation of Lebanon with cluster bombs manufactured in the United States and used by Israel. And now we hear Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice championing Lebanese democracy and trying to point out how Iran is supporting Hezbollah there. But it's a very small country and it's very fragile. We know what happens when the eye of the United States turns toward a country and we try and save it.
Yeah. Well, and we're talking about this desire on the part of this administration, $63 billion of new arms into the world, into the hands of these particular states. Is it a done deal? I saw a press conference yesterday with about seven or eight Congress people standing in opposition to this. What's the process for getting this passed? Do they have to go through Congress? And then secondly, is there a possibility that it may not go through?
That's a great question. It Congress can stop this all from happening. So we've heard from leaders in the Congress like Joe Biden and Tom Lantos, both of whom are very skeptical of this arms deal.
Are opposed?
Well, they're adopting a sort of wait and see attitude. They won't make a decision on this. They won't see a final proposal until September sometime.
Okay.
So it will come before committees in the House and in the Senate. At this point, I've heard some opposition, but more skepticism along the lines of this isn't going to do what the administration says it's going to do. I think that's positive. But I have been concerned about some of the reasons for the skepticism beyond that. Tom Lantos said, well, we would only really want to sell these countries defensive weapons. And I think that's a real red herring, right? I don't think there's
There's no such thing as a defensive weapon.
Bullets that only go one way.
Weapons have defensive and offensive purposes.
Yeah, they do.
So there's that. The fact that Israel is supporting this, I think, will make it easier for members of Congress to support it, because
or make it impossible for them not to.
Or make it impossible for them not to. Congress is you know, completely pro-Israel, and it's very, very difficult for members of Congress to criticize Israel or do anything that Israel doesn't want Congress to do.
Is there any way that this could go through with carving out an Israel exception?
Well, I think the military aid to Israel, I think, is a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'll be more looking at is the arms package to Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states. And I think there's a possibility that Congress could do the right thing here. And I think that just the human rights records and the lack of democracy are two strong arguments against this, that Congress will work on. The Arms Export Control Act, which is part of U.S. law, says that we don't sell weapons to countries that aren't democracies.
But don't we also, what happened to the coalition that was so outraged at us selling our ports to the United Arab Emirates? I mean, and now we're giving them weapons? What happened to, can't we get that coalition back engaged in this conversation?
Call them up, yeah. I mean, right. So there is a sort of strange bedfellows coming together that could happen here. And it's gotten enough press attention that perhaps that can carry through.
Frieda Berrigan, I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning for this discussion. Senior Program Associate at the Arms and Security Project, thank you again for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Good to be with you, Liz.
Take care now.
You too.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back with more discussion in the last 15 minutes of this day and this show. Yo, you don't want to miss a minute of it. I'll be back. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, Join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Courage and wisdom inside of me all along. It's inside of you, too. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're going to have a really special Eye on the Loo tomorrow. Very, very, very special. Lots of wonderful information. And Jamala Rogers is going to be joining us, of course, for Justice for Reggie. Going to have good stuff, new stuff on the show for that. But a very special and different Eye on the Loo tomorrow. So you don't want to miss that. And also I want to get the word out here to our advertisers of on the wake-up call. Two new advertisers here. Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. You need your carpets cleaned. You need your upholstery cleaned. You need to get a certified cleaning service to do it. That is Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. 315-7075. That's 315-7075. Russell's Professional Carpet Cleaning. They do water extractions. They have a special three rooms and a hallway, $39.95. And look, they do upholstery cleaning, and they specialize in spot cleaning. I know y'all have kids, y'all have adults, y'all have folks in your house. Get your carpet and your upholstery cleaned, and do it by supporting the wake-up call. Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Give them a call at 315-7075. That's 315-7075, Russell's. And tell them I told you to. We have much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. Tonight there is a wonderful panel discussion that's going to take place at Legacy Books and Cafe right there at Union and Del Mar. Union and Del Mar tonight. A discussion on the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, environmental racism. We have a guest that's joined us from New Orleans to come in and speak on this, Malcolm Suber. He's going to be joining us joining the panel discussion tonight at Legacy Books and Cafe. That's right there at Union and Del Mar. And Don Fitz will be addressing, will also be on the panel talking about the global warming that has occurred in increasingly violent hurricanes throughout the world. I'm also going to be on the panel to be talking about the disastrous effects of William Roberti that they've had on the schools and the connection with the schools in New Orleans. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books and Cafe, 5249 Del Mar. That's Union and Del Mar. Union and Del Mar. Be there tonight at 7 o'clock. It'll be a great panel discussion. It's something that you don't want to miss. It's always great to put stuff in your, have stuff in your, get stuff in your mental Rolodex that empowers you. And Malcolm is also going to be talking about this wonderful tribunal that is going to take place at the end of August on the anniversary, the third-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, holding our good government accountable for the treatment of its citizens, the displacements of its citizens. The government does not have a right. In fact, it is bound by international and national law not to displace its citizens, and when its citizens are displaced, to put them, make them whole again. I don't care what anybody tells you, that's one of the responsibilities by morality and legalities binds our government to a policy and a practice that returns people back to their homes. So you need to be there tonight as we have this discussion at 7 o'clock at Del Mar and Union Legacy Books and Cafe. And if you have any questions, there's a phone number here that you can call, 454-9005, 454-9005. If you have any questions, you need directions, you need to get there, 454-9005. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I'm enjoying your program as usual.
Thank you.
I want to comment about Michael Stevens and what he's doing. He's appealing to the international community for justice. And this is what I've been kind of feeling all along, although I voted and I thought the democratic process should be given a chance. But I think that reaching out to the international community is the only way that you're going to get any kind of action here at home. And that I think further, in order to impeach the president or hold his government accountable, I think we ought to reach out to the international community and try President Bush for war crimes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Dimitri. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Lois, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I will see you tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Bookstores because I've just been involved in that kind of discussion with Katrina. But what I wanted to announce is to all retirees of the public schools that they will be receiving their ballots for the teacher trustee position that is open now that I'm leaving the board, the retirement board. That seat is now open. Only one person is a retired teacher, and that is Al Katzenberger, and that's the one that I've been mentoring. He's been coming to our meetings for the past year. Everybody else who is on that ballot is an administrator. We want a teacher in the teacher trustee seat. So please be sure when you get your ballots on Monday, August the 6th, mark the ballot for Al Katzenberger and turn it in right away because the last day for turning it in is August the 21st. I'll see you tonight, Liz,
very,
at Legacy.
Very good, Lois. Thank you for that.
Thank you for letting me make that announcement.
Certainly. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I do want to encourage you to come out tonight to this panel discussion at Legacy Books at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be on the panel. Malcolm Suber is going to be on the panel. He's part of the People's Hurricane Relief Fund, and he came into town specifically to talk about this tribunal that is going to be, that it has been formed, and the tribunal will be held at the end of August in New Orleans. I just want you to feel this, and the reason why this tribunal has been formed. Since Katrina and Rita, our good government has forcibly removed tens of thousands of New Orleans and Gulf Coast residents. They've disenfranchised tens of thousands of people of African descent voters. They've refused to adhere to its own policies and procedures pertaining to the security and well-being of internally displaced persons, IDPs. We have IDPs in this country. They have grossly mismanaged resources for the reconstruction of the region, including awarding no bid contracts to big corporations connected to the Bush administration. They've eliminated environmental and worker protection laws. They have unjustifiably criminalized thousands of survivors, particularly the displaced. They've set up a reconstruction process that excludes effective input, oversight, and control over the procedures. And finally, our good government is currently threatening to seize large portions of New Orleans owned and occupied by people of African descent in order to ethnically cleanse the city to prevent the return of the historic majority. We have IDPs, internally displaced peoples, in this country. Thanks to this government, and you all need to be aware of that. You need to know this information. So come out to this forum tonight at 7 o'clock at Legacy Books and Cafe, right there at Union and Del Mar. If you have any questions about how to get there, what you need to do, Give them a call at 454-9005. That's 454-9005. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. You know the drill. Stay strong.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us.